Tonight, our guy Warren Price from European and U.S. Car Service answers your auto questions. Then Tribune political cartoonist Scott Stantis has at least 1,000 new words. And finally, Michelle L'Amour has sent over one of her partners in crime. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
So rainy out tonight, Craig. I hope everyone's being safe, because it's very easy to sort of take it more, you know, sort of cavalier attitude, and you're like, oh, it's just rain.
Yeah, this isn't snow, it's just rain.
It's just rain.
And then you fly all over the place.
Oh, it's very slippery.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful out there. So excited tonight. Full show. It's been a busy week. Have you felt that your sort of cathartic experience of getting to talk about the movie that shall not be named?
The movie that shall not be named. Yeah, I haven't talked about it at all today.
That's
the first. Oh, a phone call.
Somebody's early. Esmeralda, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. I watched Man of Steel.
You did?
Because I was told to watch that before Batman vs. Superman.
I own it. You could have borrowed it.
Well, I saw it for, you know,
okay,
next to nothing.
All right, fine.
Nothing. And I'm supposed to see Batman Superman tomorrow.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
And none of the, you've seen all the Dark Knight movies?
Yes.
Oh, well, there you go. How did you like Man of Steel?
Oh my God, I cried.
I don't know what Esmeralda is doing to me. I just got over all this. She's going to see it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. I permit further discussion according to how Esmeralda feels.
Yeah, she can call in.
I'll probably be
like,
it was fine.
Because she was left out of everything last night.
You cried to Man of Steel?
I cried so much at Man of Steel.
Did you use a mirror?
No.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to get up.
I have to say this. I talked to my husband. He listened to the podcast with whether or not Mark Harmon has a manly cry, and I asked Steve if he has ever seen himself cry in the mirror, and he said, sure. So, Craig, you have now officially become the only person we know that has not seen themselves.
You know, I'm not sure about what Steve said there. Sure doesn't really convince me.
Because he goes, look, I grew up in a house with five sisters. I wasn't going to cry in front of them, so I'm sure I ended up in the bathroom at one point or another.
Aww.
I know. Should I not be saying this out loud?
No,
that's it. You know what? It makes me like him even more.
Aww.
Yeah. So there you go.
He said, I don't dislike him anymore from that, but I just don't understand it.
He has memories. He knows what he looks like when he cries. He couldn't give you an exact moment as when he doesn't remember seeking it out, but he's quite certain he knows.
Well,
that's
the thing. I've never tried to avoid a mirror to see myself cry, but I've never encountered one while crying. I've never gone past one.
I move around a lot when I cry.
Why?
Except
I pace when I cry.
Yeah, so do I. Mm-hmm.
I get emotional, sit, cry, finish, and then, you know, move on to something else.
Have you ever cried before? Do you ever cry? Have you ever seen
yourself? Do you cry into mirrors, people on the street?
Have you ever seen? Oh, look at these young boys. Oh, this is fantastic.
They all cry into mirrors. They probably all do it.
It's not like we're having handheld mirrors and just crying into
them. You're on WGN Radio in Chicago. You like turtles. But do you cry?
I do too.
You have to bang on the window. I can hear you talk.
Okay.
It's all right. Hi, it's all right if you bang on the window. It's all right.
Oh, that was your lifeguard just came out.
Yeah, you're on the radio.
Hi, guys.
Where are you?
Put us on the radio.
Not anymore. You got too loud there. You were on the radio, and then you started screaming a little bit.
You all made it.
Okay, don't scream anymore. I can put you back. You're on the radio right now.
Okay.
Hello.
Where are you all from?
Marlon. And I'm Lorna, just so you guys know.
I'm from the...
You're from where? Go ahead.
Bartlett,
hi guys. Did you have a good? Did you go out for dinner tonight?
Yeah.
Good time. I'm keeping you in the rain. Okay, boys. Have you ever cried? Do you ever cry about anything?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen yourself cry in the mirror?
Yes.
All of you. All of you have done that.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. You have now settled.
Gentlemen,
the
wait a minute. No, it's not over yet.
Yes.
Did you on purpose find a mirror while you were crying, or did you? Yeah, of course not.
Anybody?
None of them did it.
Oh, he's asking him. An accident.
You did it once.
Yeah, but you haven't even accidentally in your entire life.
I don't pass a mirror while I'm crying.
He's never seen himself cry.
I don't know what I look like.
Do me a favor. Say something that will make him cry, and I will hold up a mirror for him.
He's nuts.
He's nuts. You're nuts.
Someone said you were weird.
I heard that.
Have fun, everybody.
Bye.
Now turn
on
your radio on the way home. Bye.
I hope that a young group of kids walks by and you get them to make fun of me every night. That's so nice.
How are they making fun of you? Those young boys they admitted to crying and seeing themselves in the mirror.
One of the young boys called me weird, and I took offense to that.
No, he said you were nuts.
I think the other one said
I heard one say weird.
Yeah, see? Yeah, it was all out there.
Hi, more people.
Hello, young
children.
Look at how prepared they are. They're in the rain with umbrellas.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Good.
Very good. I like all of your umbrellas. Very colorful. Very specific. We have pink, orange, and blue and white. Excellent. Are you out with who are you with? Are you with adults? Are they hiding from me? They're hiding. Look at, they are hiding. We're very good. Thank you very much for stopping by. You can hang out. Hi. What's your name?
Me.
Very nice to meet you. You're lovely. I love your umbrella.
Why people say he's weird?
Why do people say?
Amen. Good question, my friend. I don't know why people say I'm weird.
Ask those kids that just went by.
What's your name, young man?
Noah.
Nawa. I'm gonna say it wrong every time, and I'm gonna apologize. Okay, I'm gonna take that as your name.
I like that name.
I can't repeat
this.
This
guy's going places.
Have you ever cried?
Of course.
Okay. Have you ever seen yourself cry in the mirror?
No.
Craig.
Exactly there correct. There you go, my friend. That is a good call.
Ladies, have you ever seen yourself cry in the mirror?
No.
This whole do you have mirrors, sir? Do you have mirrors in your home? Are they not allowed?
No, it's totally fine. These are normal, well-adjusted kids right
here.
The kids before are all, like, crazy. These ones are great.
Well-adjusted people we've met in the last few days. Congratulations. Well done.
You guys are all living life correctly. You keep that up.
Yes.
Thank you.
I've seen myself cry. I just want to see what I look like.
No, you don't want to know what you look like. It's terrible.
It is not terrible. You don't know. You might like the way you look when you cry.
Can I also say it's because I think maybe, you know, we have a touch narcissism.
Yeah, right. These children are not narcissistic.
No,
well done.
None of these kids
are. Good
job. A touch of that.
No. You're not. Okay.
We got a break.
Will you please remind me about the Muppets bracket?
Yes.
There's a Muppets bracket online. Please vote for Kermit. Griffin, my son, says you can vote for anyone you want as long as it's Kermit. More after this on 720 WGN. Once again, don't forget to go online and check out the Muppets bracket. You can vote for anybody. There's a lot of different choices. But right now, I believe it's Kermit versus Grover. Grover is ahead.
Is that completely surprising?
Yeah, I think that's
Grover's a pretty cool guy.
And here's the thing. I'm just saying that Griffin would like everyone to vote for whoever they want, but please vote for Kermit.
As long as it's Kermit the Frog.
As long as it's Kermit the Frog. Mommy may have voted for Grover. And I didn't know it was going to cause so much chaos in my house, which is why you're going to hear about it more tonight. You all have your brackets, your NCAA. By the way, did you see that I'm tied with Anna DeVlantes?
Yeah, you've done very well.
I'm actually poised to have. I have a possible score of 72.
I know.
Her possible full score is 67.
Right. So you could do very, very well.
I could do very, very well.
You know that Jimmy offered a prize.
Only against Anna DeVlantes.
Well, Jimmy offered a prize to the person who does best in the station.
Yeah, but that's not me. That's someone named. Who's Hill?
Oh, Jeff Hill. Mm-hmm. He's the sales guy.
It's like number four out of the
whole
thing.
He's doing pretty well.
Yeah, he is a little bit.
Okay.
Hannah Stanley, did you do the NCAA brackets?
The NCAA, yes. I have not done Muppet bracketing.
You got to vote for Kermit.
I'm excited about this.
I'm not telling you who you should vote for, but you should vote for Kermit.
Pretty sure you are. Yeah.
Not for nothing, but
I think that's voter fraud. I'm just saying.
Okay, so
I think my husband actually looks a little bit like Kermit. He makes some facial expressions, so I'm a big Kermit fan.
Does his bottom lip and his top lip open and close at the same? Like he has to like his whole jaw on a hinge?
Yes,
like a puppet.
Yeah, they hinge
like a like a Muppet. Okay.
Yeah, they don't dishinge like a python, which is good.
No, that is very good. Yeah, if you can swallow an animal whole, that's
terrifying.
That's
not good.
No,
terrible.
No.
I don't need to be measured up.
And
that's not good.
I believe you and Craig were talking off the air. Would you say that you're someone who could admit to seeing themselves cry in the mirror?
Unfortunately, yeah, I'm an ugly crier. I am a horribly ugly crier.
But you've checked.
Oh yeah.
You got no. Let's go ahead, Hannah, and tell them the whole story.
Okay.
It's up to Hannah. Don't pressure her. Also vote for Kermit.
Also vote for Kermit. When I was growing up, the furniture I grew up with had and still has, because my parents still have it, a really large mirror over the double dresser.
Okay.
You know?
And
so it was right across from my bed just because of how the the room was configured. So, like, let's say I'm crying in my bed because, a boyfriend broke up with me. That only happened once or 300 times. And I would look up and I would be like, no, I'm ugly crying. Yeah, it was terrible. Terrible.
Well, and one of our listeners is saying, you know, it's not fun. It's never planned. Why look in a mirror?
Yeah, exactly.
I think part of it for me, and this is just my own hypothesis, for me, I think it's like not feeling like I'm alone. Like, there I am.
There is one thing that I guess I can say about being, you know, a boy that I guess didn't really care too much what I looked like. I didn't have a mirror in my room. The only mirror I would check would be in the bathroom.
You have to go to the right.
So I would have to cry in the bathroom to see myself.
Right.
And right. And see, my son doesn't have a mirror and my daughter does.
Right.
In their room. That's and my
why
husband was like, why would he? Because my husband, I was like, well, he needs a mirror. And he was like, no, he doesn't.
Yeah,
he's
he does.
A boy.
Make him see himself. Make him see what he's done that day with his appearance. This is what you look like when you leave the house. Boys need to know what they look like when they leave the house, too. Please, for the love of God and all that is good, let boys see what they look like before they leave the house.
Right. Well, and then there's also the other thing, like, you know, I'm sure you have as well. I've cried in the car, and you're not just sitting in the car because it was a place to sit. You know, you're going somewhere, and you're crying, and then you get there, and you're like, oh, mascara. And, you know, you're trying to pull yourself together. You're trying to fix your makeup. And so, yeah, I've gone into the bathroom and seen myself cry because I'm trying to make it look like I wasn't.
There you go. Yes, that happens, too. Well, yeah. Craig's not wrapping
up. I guess I know that I'm not supposed to cry yet, so my body doesn't cry.
It doesn't allow yourself.
It doesn't. I don't cry till later.
Not yet. Not
right.
yet. Not time.
I can't think
have
of a lot of times. No, go ahead.
Yeah, Craig, have you ever cried at work?
No.
Okay. See, I have, Patty.
At this job? At this building?
Just at work.
Yeah, you don't have to be that
job.
In the trust tree.
Oh, absolutely. I've cried at a job for certain.
Yeah.
I was a teenager when I started. I was 14 when I started working.
I was 15. So I wrangled carts.
So I'm sure I cried somewhere at work. 40 different jobs.
Dry cleaner at 14. So, yeah, I mean, it's happened at multiple jobs, and you try to look presentable. And, I mean, there could be good, legitimate reasons. I had, you know, I was at work when I found out multiple relatives had passed away, and that's just the thing. It doesn't have to be like a, you suck and we're going to fire you. That's not why I cried. But, yeah, it's tough. And sometimes you go into the bathroom to escape, right, hide from everybody else, and it's right there. There's a huge mirror. Yeah, I've seen myself. So
I actually, to avoid looking at myself in the mirror once, Craig, I did, I was at my husband's aunt's house for Thanksgiving dinner, and I was so frustrated. It was my first Thanksgiving without my dad, so I got in the bathtub and just curled up and cried in the bathtub. So that was fun. That was good. That was good. I did not
I know that. I like that. Crying in a bathtub. That I would do.
That you would do.
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
That sounds nice.
Behind the curtain, just feel like I'm alone. I don't want to be anywhere.
Well, no, and you guys are right. I mean, I must have cried in a car at some point, and mirrors are really ubiquitous throughout, like, my life. I must have passed one. I don't think so. I've never seen myself cry.
I don't think we must have asked Rob Martier already if he has cried in front of a mirror.
I'm pretty sure Rob has never cried.
He has four kids.
Oh, I've cried. Yes. Just never in front of a mirror.
You've never seen yourself cry? Not once.
Exactly correct.
You have no idea what you look like when you cry.
No. Well, it's probably not pretty, which is why I haven't done it in front of a mirror.
And if a mirror were around you, Rob, you wouldn't even look at it. You wouldn't even think about it. Yeah.
No,
he likes to drape a black cloth over it.
But watching kids, I don't want you to think that this is sadistic. It's really cute when my kids look at themselves crying in the mirror.
See?
No, that sounds terrible. What Rob just said is he watches from afar as his child cries and stares at himself in a mirror.
Charles, why are you crying? I want to cry. It's my right to look at myself.
Wow. That is all accurate.
I kind of love that.
Yeah, I like Charles.
Hannah, so you don't know that your son's ever seen himself cry in the mirror?
I don't know. And I don't know that my daughter has either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. I mean, definitely not in Grayson's room. He doesn't have a mirror, and Preston's not a big crier. She was when she was more, you know, like a little tiny. But she gets very frustrated and will have like tears in her frustration. But she's not like, I'm going to cry about this now. And she's never thrown like a huge tantrum or anything. She's pretty put together.
Well, before we run, because I so ate up a lot of your time with the crying, we've only got a minute or so here, but are you crying at all over your DIY project in your laundry room?
Good Lord. Okay, so I decided that my laundry room / mudroom, which it really should be one or the other, is not functional. And so I got stacking washer dryer instead of the side-by-side. And then I ripped out cabinets. And now, and they were nice. They're nice cabinets. And I mean, it had like three cabinets across the top. Now it's two because of the stacking. But they were like this really light honey color. And I was really over it. And so I was like, well, I watch a lot of HGTV. I can do this. And so I've been painting cabinets, and I have to tell you, I'm way too anal retentive for this gig because it's not going to be perfect because I'm not spraying it on. So I'm using like a really, really major detail brush and then a roller to get it smoothish. And there's dripping, and then I have to sand it. And
she's going to cry any moment now, Craig.
Well, here's the thing, though. I only have to do three cabinets. People do their entire kitchen, and I think they are a way better person than I am and also insane. Because I was like two doors into this going, I should just hire this out.
I'm so sorry, Hannah. Well, you can do this. This too shall pass, I promise.
No, I'm almost done, but I had to push through the suck part of it.
Right.
For, you know, where you're like, this is really exciting, and that's the beginning project, and then the end, you're like, yay, this is great. It's like running. You know, you start, and you're like, I just did a minute. I can do 30. And then, like, from you know, 3 to 28, you're like, I'm an idiot. And so I'm right at, like, the 27 part, where I'm almost done, and I can see the promised land. But, man, my hands are raw from sanding drips. That's all there is to it.
Well, I will get you some moisturizer. And
I
want to see how it turns out. Send us some pictures, and we'll talk to you about it next week.
I will Instagram them. Thank
you. Please. Thank you. It's Hannah Stanley, and we'll talk to her again about her project. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. If you got a car, I got a guy. You got a car? I got a guy. If you have any questions about your car, past or present, because I got questions about old cars even. We should let it go, right? Once you've lost a car, once it's given up the ghost, let it go.
You must let it fly.
Let it go.
Let it go to car heaven.
All right,
to
then
the
forget
next
it.
Donor.
My old 76 Toyota Corolla wagon. It was so weird. The keys would fall out of the ignition while it was still running and keep going.
Oh, I have key issues. I just had a car. My own personal car had a key issue. I needed to get a new key to mm-hmm. get my car to run.
Oh, and, a new key to get it to run?
Yeah, it had to be programmed.
You could only open it before?
I could barely open it. I had to get the key out of the fob. You know how they make them, they marry them now. You walk around with the male
they
and
don't
female
like each
together,
other.
Though they stay together.
All right, then.
Yeah, they need each other.
Okay.
So, my Mazda, my 86 Mazda 323, you could open the door with a twig.
Yeah. Same thing as a Corolla.
Whatever you wanted to do.
You use any key to open my 76 uh-huh. Toyota Corolla.
Well, you mean just pull it?
No, it would lock.
You had to push something into the hole.
You had to put, yeah.
No, and then you had to turn it.
The first car that I stole was
what time
a 1961
is it? I'm sitting at the Nick D show myself.
Chevy, you just had to turn the lock. You didn't even need a key.
Right.
Yeah,
you just had to get something in there and then
right.
you had to twist.
Twist
okay.
the shot. Yeah.
I'm going to mark that one down.
Mm-hmm.
Very well. Well done.
I also had a crank sunroof.
Did you really?
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love
don't have
my
those
crank
anymore.
Sunroof.
You I had a pull back or crank.
Yeah, exactly. 312-981-7200. You can either give us a call with a question you have about your car or tell us about your favorite car you ever had, your first car. I have three first cars. Is that possible?
Sure.
Okay.
Which one did you drive?
The first one I really drove was the 76 Toyota Corolla, but I also had an 80 something. Do you remember the Subaru Brat?
Yes.
I had a Subaru Brat, but it was a stick shift, and it was a nightmare to try to figure out how to drive that.
Does that say anything about the owner?
Stop it. Stop it.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a Brat, and then I had an 89 Volkswagen Rabbit.
My first car was a 58 Chevy Biscayne, 3-speed on the column, black and white, 2-tone, 2-door.
Wow.
Great.
See, that
car
sounds way cooler awesome. Than the cars that I started out
yeah,
with.
And one day I was backing out of my driveway with the door open and I lost the door on a tree.
Oh, my God.
I forgot it was open.
You know, that happens. That happens.
Yeah, it happens.
There's worse things. 312-981-7200. Give us a call. Tell us about your first car. Or if you have a car question that you've been waiting to ask Warren, and you can ask us. He's a European and U.S. auto. Finish it for me.
4080 North Broadway, Chicago, Illinois, 773-248-1200.
There you go. I have a pen in here somewhere. It has all the information, too, but I think it's too late.
Okay. I should have brought you another one.
No, I got I took a couple last time I was at your shop. So,
okay.
Yeah. Every time I'm in there, I'm like, oh, look at this. I always got a blue pen. Oh, look at this nice copper. I like the copper ones.
The copper ones, they write very
orange.
Nicely. I use them so people can sign their credit cards with us.
That's a good one.
And then there's a stylist on the end, and they can text while they're driving and have another accident. Yeah,
exactly. You do it all. Auto know. Body and mechanic. Yeah.
I want to ask a question about my car. I was waiting, and I know I could do this off the air, but I'll go ahead and do it on the air.
Do it now.
When temperature changes from cold to warm, is it normal for a car to like all of a sudden start making really loud screeching noises right when you first turn it on and move it? Like, is the metal just changing a little bit and then it'll go away? Or does that sound bad?
Well, you've got issues possibly with lubrication in areas like in your pulleys.
Okay. My pulleys aren't lubricated.
Your
is what pulleys you're
saying. Might not be lubricated. Or you should say that the bearings that they spin on are getting tired. You could say that the belt that spins on them isn't tight enough.
Okay.
Or wearing.
All right.
And it's not gripping well. And once it does get speed going, mm-hmm. it maintains and the noise goes away.
That is exactly what happens. Okay. So it's one of those things.
I kind
of
got that one.
Well, good. Cool.
It's like you know stuff about
it's like he knows
cars.
Car stuff.
A couple
and then
things.
It's bad when you brake and you also hear noises, right? Like that's usually not a good thing. Exactly.
Is that
exact
what you
noise.
Hear?
Yeah,
that
I hear
when
that
you
exact
hit something?
Noise. No, it's when I just brake in general. It's
Does
just,
it squeal?
It's like scraping. It's like a scraping noise.
Okay. Could be that your brake pads and rotors or shoes and drums have some
I think my car has so many
them.
Things wrong with it. I should just drive it till it falls apart.
I thought you were doing that.
I guess
that's,
I am, yeah.
That's what I did with the Accord.
The Accord's still running.
Is it really still?
It's still running.
Who's driving it?
Terry Staley's brother-in-law.
Yeah? Does he like it?
I don't know. He hasn't called me.
All right, then. Well,
so,
he
listen,
hasn't,
no,
hasn't
calls
complained.
No calls is good.
All right, good thing. Yeah. Yes, that's good. It was a good car.
It still is.
It was just time for me to...
You have to come and get the things that you left behind.
My stuff, yes.
Your boots.
I need a car. Uh-huh. I need something to get around with because it's getting a little dicey in my house. Here we have Matthew has a question about OnStar. Here we go. Matthew, what's your question for Warren?
On a 2006 Buick, I've got the OnStar system. And I'm used to having cars that are older and you can, you know, let a vehicle sit for 3 weeks. And I noticed with this OnStar, it'll just kill your battery. So I end up, you know, just disconnecting the battery. Is there any way to disengage the OnStar system? I don't subscribe to it.
I have a question. So you're saying you let the car sit for about 3 weeks sometimes?
I can't see that the OnStar is drawing it at all. You possibly have something else that's creating that problem.
The drain?
Yeah, because if it's not connected, it's not drawing power. There's no, it's not drawing, the signal isn't drawing to a satellite.
Mm-hmm.
I think there could be something else. Well, when was the last time you replaced your battery, or has this been happening since you've had the car? And are you the new owner or original owner?
Yeah, my dad had it before he passed away.
Sorry,
but it was
that.
A new battery at the time. But, yeah, I just disconnect the battery, and it's never a problem.
Well, then maybe it still isn't the OnStar, but it could be another circuit that's pulling juice. Because I can't see the OnStar. If it's not working, if there's no – it only works when you ask it to.
Okay, well, you know how just for instance –
Is that a cat? Hold on. Is that a cat, Matthew?
Yeah, yes, it is.
Craig, listen very close. Does your cat sound like this?
Go ahead. Let the cat get close to the phone.
Don't pull its tail.
Yeah, stop pulling its tail.
And
definitely don't take a bath with it like Craig's been tempted to. Take a shower with his cat.
They talked about a criminal up here that got caught with a OnStar system where the police just stopped the vehicle. And I was just curious. I wonder, would he have to be subscribed to the OnStar?
Absolutely. You can't do it unless you are subscribed.
All right.
They can't go fishing for a fish they can't catch.
All right.
Okay.
All right. There you go.
Because it does seem like it's the system is still on. I mean,
You mean the red light is on your roof of your car? Right over
well,
your,
there's
your,
a red light on the there's a red light on the dash.
On the dash. Okay. Well, it's supposed to be lit. When your car is in the on position.
Yeah.
Okay.
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 All righty. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. We'll talk to you again soon. And we have, let's see, let's go with Lisa and her first car. Chris, we'll come to you in just a few moments. Hey, Lisa, what was your first car?
Hi, I had an AMC Gremlin.
Oh, the Gremlins.
It was baby blue on the outside.
Aww.
And the inside was Levi jeans material.
Uh-huh. I remember that
one.
Oh,
man.
Uh-huh. Sure.
So cool. It was so cool.
I remember there was a dealer on Western in Arthur called Brown's that used to sell those.
Really? I think I bought mine in Elgin at the time, but I just loved that car, and it was just like a little tank. It was just just great.
My favorite one was the Pacer, where you could put that 12-foot sandwich in it that was real big in the back.
I think I tried to get a Pacer at first because I wanted a purple car, but then I saw this one and I
wanted one with onions and lettuce.
What? When did your car give up the ghost, or did you sell it?
No, I exchanged it. It never did. I just exchanged it. But the car I'm driving now, which is a 2003 Chevy Tracker, is still going strong, and I've only got
Geo.
That's cute. Those are cute.
Yeah. Well, it's a Chevy Tracker, but it's the same.
Yeah, the same thing.
Body,
same
I
model.
Think. And I've only got about 69,000 miles on it.
Wow.
So I'm
nice. Wow.
Pristine.
Yeah.
Well done, Lisa.
Thank you.
Change your oil.
Thank you. Changing the oil.
I do.
Let's take one.
Thanks
you know,
a lot. Have a nice evening.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you too. Let's take one more before the break. Chris has a question about his battery. Hey, Chris.
I'm having the same problem, actually, with my 2012 Chevy Malibu. I just put a new battery in December, and actually I couldn't start it today. And it was a brand new battery that I had gotten, and I got OnStar and Sirius XM satellite. And I think one of them has to be draining the battery over the period of time. And I'm leaning towards the satellite because of the fact if you get in an accident or something, they still have the ability to get in contact with you. So I think that may be running at all times, even though you're not an active subscriber.
You need to go to your dealer or a local shop, and they need to actually check each fuse that those two lines are on and turn your power off. And there's a way to test it. With the test light,
okay.
You hit the fuse. If the light comes on, you've got power going through it. If it doesn't, it's a zero and it's nothing. It's an easy check. It shouldn't cost too much, but that's the thing. But I would go to a dealer for that because they have the equipment to definitely test and plug into those systems.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chris. Good luck with that. And one more. We have a few more call rooms. We have a few more slots open for callers. Look at that. We lit up. First cars. What was your first car? Or do you have a car question for Warren, our car guy, European and U.S. Auto at 4080 North Broadway. You can also call 773-248-1200. What are the numbers that you want to share? Is that the one?
The numbers? You mean 773-844-000 if you need to get towed?
Yeah, if you got to get towed.
Got to get towed. 24/7, 365.
That's 844-000-000. Don't use so many zeros. Which equals, you know, zero. 312-981-7200 is a number to call if you have a question for Warren right now or you want to tell us about your first car. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I've got in the studio with me, Warren, our car guy. You got a car? We've got your guy.
Yo.
And we're taking your calls, your questions about your car. Maybe tell us what your first car was. But, Warren, you have something to share with us that's pretty unique, an item that you're hoping to help raise money for breast cancer awareness
and
research.
Yeah, the Avon Walk is coming up on the 4th and 5th of June, and my brother-in-law has this idea, and I agree with it totally, that... These little shades that you wear and to protect you from the sun, but can elevate some financial benefit to Avon.
And they clip onto
They clip onto any baseball cap, and we've got a couple different designs. One that has the 39 on it, and the other one has the symbol for breast cancer.
The breast cancer pink ribbon?
Yeah, the pink ribbon.
What's the 39? Is it the 39?
39 miles.
39 miles.
39 miles. Sweating, money-raising, charitable work.
Wow.
What a great cause.
Craig, we should do the 39-mile walk. Should we do it?
I'll do it with you.
All right, let's do the walk.
We have to start training now. Actually,
I
already could do this, probably.
Yeah, but I like stairs.
Craig, I don't know.
Craig could do 39 miles walking.
Yeah?
Backwards?
Just walking.
I mean, can I have rollerblades?
Yeah,
no.
In your back pocket.
Awesome. Well, what do you mean?
Well, you can ride on your...
On your ass?
Oh, that's even better. You guys could push me.
Pull you?
Can we get a wagon? You guys can go and then I'll be in the wagon.
Well, we could talk about that. You get good gas mileage.
In a wagon?
No, on your butt.
There you go.
Actually, you could be gas-powered.
I like how he classied that up a little
right.
bit.
No, he changed that a little bit. The next vehicle recommended to me, it sounds like those are rollerblades.
Yes.
That's what I should go to next.
Well, actually, my daughter's doctor came into the store, and he had this skateboard that was motor-operated on, and he was going to take a skateboard back to his office during rush hour. But, you know, it was pretty risque, but he did it.
Oh, wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
By the way, I do want to say in the opening scenes of Batman versus Superman, Craig,
did you see it?
Did you see it?
Not yet. I want to.
You know what I was laughing at? Because there's a type of car that I would avoid for various reasons, mm-hmm. and Bruce Wayne is driving. Do you remember what kind of car he's driving?
Like Jeep or
it's
something?
It's a Jeep.
Yeah.
It's a Jeep vehicle.
You hate Jeeps?
I've talked to several people. You have issues.
I have the death wobble.
I know that yours is older, but anything that has the word death and some other sort of
Yeah, no, the death
ailment.
Wobble happened a lot.
Well,
by the way,
you see, every automobile on the sun visor says something about death. You have to wear your seatbelts because if you don't, it could cause death.
Yeah, but this is an actual ailment. I was saying an ailment. He has a death wobble.
I wanted to talk about my trip to South Bend that I took this past weekend. We just got a cat.
Did you drive in your Jeep?
We did, yeah. No, I always drive in my Jeep. I just do that all the time. Thank you. We just
He's
got a cat.
He's a brave man.
And my cat
I service it.
I know. Yeah. Thank you, Warren. Right, my cat hates to be in like boxes and stuff, so we let her out for part of the ride, and we hit a bump and did a death wobble, and the cat immediately went back into like her little enclosed space.
Safety's
without us even
virtue.
Trying. Yeah. The cat even knows that car is the wrong thing to drive to South Bend.
Yeah, the cat's like, I'm going to stay in the box.
I'm going to get in the box. Guys just do your thing.
Esmeralda, are you at all impressed by the fact that he just told us that he lets the cat out of the box in the car?
That does happen.
Yeah.
He acts like a dog. My kitten is like a dog in the car.
Okay.
All right. It's a talk we
dangerous.
Just had.
It is. It's very
dangerous. Next thing you're driving and all of a sudden there's a cat with
it's
his claws on your face.
People do it with a dog in the back,
the
right?
Cat is a little more uncontrollable.
Unstable.
Right, I imagine she'll get under the brake.
She whines so much if we leave her in the little box. She's
let her
so
whine.
Sad.
With or without claws.
She puts her little paws through and she looks at us like, why would you do this to me?
Yeah, mine does a weird...
More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on this rainy, drizzly evening in Chicago. I don't know what it's like in your part of the country, but it's a little damp around here, and that's fine. The planet needs it. We need some water.
Springtime.
It's to be expected. Scott Stantis joins us in the studio, and Warren of European and U.S. Auto at 4080 North Broadway. We have Bob on the line because Warren has a unique product that he's introduced, and Bob, you had a question?
Yes. I saw these glasses, and they look kind of cool. Are they connected to the hat?
Yes.
They clip on.
They clip on.
Mm-hmm.
Are they? Do they come in other colors? And
well, we haven't explored other colors, but pink is the theme. Mm-hmm. They go along with the ribbon.
Cause.
The ribbon that they use mm-hmm. and
for breast cancer awareness.
Mm-hmm. And I think that keeping it simple is a little bit easier than going to a multitude of colors. But if we have a large enough order to benefit the charity, mm-hmm. we'll be more than happy to make a different color.
There you go.
It's great. They look great. How does one get a hold of them? How do you get them?
Just right now, you can call my shop at 773-248-1200, and we can talk about it.
248-1200?
248-1200.
248-1200.
773.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. There you go, Bob. Give them a call at the auto shop, and they'll get you hooked up with some...
You
call them clip-on... what do you call them?
These are clip-on glasses.
For your
glasses.
Cap. Yeah. All right. So there you go. Yeah. Very cool. Thank you, Bob. Have a good night. And Scott Stantis joins us. How are you?
Real quick, they're called flippin' shades.
Flippin' shades.
Flippin' shades.
Okay, now
yeah.
I like it.
I want my flippin' shades.
I want my flippin' shades, and I want them right now.
All right, then. Esmeralda, say it. Say you want your flippin' shades.
I want my flippin' shades, and I want them right now.
Craig?
I would like some flippin' shades, and I would like them right now.
There you go. I want my flippin' shades.
You got them.
And I would like them right now, please.
Okay. I also want a better movie than Batman versus Superman.
I know. Wait, Esmeralda.
How many stars?
Zero.
I don't.
Negative.
If he could be given stars, he would. Require...
I would take stars away.
Yeah.
From
you mean
other
you were seeing stars while you were watching it? It was that poor.
Yes.
Okay. He's not
just
a fan. Not pleased.
Really?
Not pleased with it at all. I didn't like it.
Wow.
Didn't Ben Affleck play Batman?
He was supposed to be Batman. Is that?
That's not why we didn't like it.
Well, he doesn't personify a Batman.
That's not why we didn't like it.
Okay.
That's not at all.
Why didn't you like it?
You know, if you'd like to know, you can go to WGNradio.com and check out our podcast from last night. We did a long-form review of Batman versus Superman.
With many different voices, including those that were pro, neutral, and against.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say Elliot Serrano was the most neutral.
Yeah, he seemed neutral. He also didn't talk a lot, which was surprising.
I think he was a little overwhelmed by how passionate the rest of us were. We expect the geek boys to get all up in arms about it.
Yeah. I got a little passionate.
Are you passionate about Batman and Superman, Scott?
Not particularly.
Well, there you go. So,
no.
And that's
but my son and his wife, who are both geeks, went to go see it. They came back to the United States, and they went to go see it, and they said it wasn't bad.
Okay.
So that's not glowing.
That's not
the popcorn must have been good.
Yes. Something. Maybe they had an open bar. I don't know if they consume such beverages, but
yeah,
there's a lot more theaters that have.
I know, it's weird.
It's wonderful.
It's shocking for many of us of a certain age.
My favorite place that I used to, when I was on the road, I traveled a lot. My favorite place to go see movies when I was traveling was in Fargo, North Dakota. I would perform in Moorhead, which is right across the river.
Hey, Marge. I got some eggs.
You know what's funny? The people of Fargo really resented that movie mostly took place in Minnesota.
Okay.
So that it really bothered them there.
I still want my eggs.
But they had a movie theater, and this is how long ago I was performing in Fargo. It was Girl Interrupted was showing the first time I went to this theater. But it was this great, they had like every it was really comfortable theater seats, but they also had a ledge, and you could bring in, like they would serve food. Like they had a whole menu, burgers and hot dogs.
Nice.
And all kinds of food. And beer, and you would just kind of.
Wasn't that?
It was great.
Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
And
Winona Ryder.
Did she win the Academy Award for that?
She did, for Best Supporting Actress.
Wow. Yeah. That was a very intense film.
It was. It was good. It was a little. Yeah, it was weird. It was kind of like a girl version of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Which was on last week.
Was it really?
Yes, it was.
Have you seen that?
Oh, my God.
Of course.
I saw it when I was way too young.
I saw it in the theater.
Me too.
I'm that damn old, yes.
Don't go there.
None of us shall go there. But you are here. I know that it's been very busy last several weeks for you.
Yes.
Today, the cartoon coming out tomorrow is the FBI is hounding Hillary Clinton.
Yes, they're going to investigate her. In fact, the head of the FBI is going to interview her. Yes, where they've been investigating.
They've been investigating, yes.
Now they're going to interview her. And, you know, who knows how this is all going to end up? Is it going to, you know, the Republican wet dream that she's going to get dragged off in shackles and been imprisoned is not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. No.
But will she be found guilty of
wrongdoing?
Yeah, probably.
What do you think? Oh, you think yours is?
Yeah, I think because I've had other friends who work at that. Not
can we bet? Secretary of State. Are we doing more bets?
Oh,
can
God.
We pile on the bets? This is really exciting. I'm so excited.
Do I think she'll be charged with something?
Mm-hmm. But you said she was going to be found guilty of something. So well, how, okay, you have to be charged with something to be found guilty.
Can you be
of
found
it?
of what am I trying to say here? Gee, words escape me, which is weird because I'm, you know,
can you
a
be
journalist.
Reprimanded? Can you be?
Yeah, I think reprimanded. You can be. Although she's no longer.
You said found guilty. You said she would. Craig, can you go back? Can you rewind
the
tape?
No.
I can rewind the tape.
Rewind the tape.
I believe you.
Okay. What,
I will concede the point.
You're rewording your bet?
Well, I'm not. Will she be charged with a crime?
Mm-hmm. Will she?
That's 50-50, I think.
So she can't be found guilty of anything. But you're saying that they will announce that she acted inappropriately?
Yeah.
Because if she acted illegally, they have to charge her.
Now, my Republican friends hate to hear that, but that's probably how this will resolve itself.
Mm-hmm. And people are still holding out for her being indicted?
Oh, gosh. Are you kidding? Indicted, thrown in prison? That, you know, go Orange is the New Black experience for her. It's too good for her. I know. It's crazy.
Pink shackles.
We just let that hang there for a We don't really know what to say for that.
No, the hatred for her on the right is so virulent.
The hatred on the left seems to be growing.
It's weird. Well, she's not a likable person, and she hurts herself. Here's the thing: on case after case after Whitewater, starting at Whitewater when it really became a national issue, she doesn't know how not to lie. She doesn't know how not to make things worse. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Whitewater was a stupid thing, and she took. You know, she had two stupid friends talk him into spending some money. It went south, and you can kind of almost hear her say, "You're an idiot. Let me do this." And she had no experience in real estate or real estate law. Mm-hmm. And it went south. It went bad. Rather than just saying, "Listen, this was a bad experience for everybody. You know, here's what happened. Here's the no." It took years to get all the information out. The records all of a sudden show up in her office.
Was she discovered to have done something illegal or
no?
Okay.
That's the point. It's like time after time after time. And so young feminists.
Time after time, she's found to not have done anything inappropriate or illegal.
No, but she drags the thing out.
How does she drag it out?
Well, it's a political act. And people, you can't be shocked that she's being attacked politically. She's in politics. This is what happens.
Right.
In politics.
But how does she drag it out? Because it seems
like I said,
those are opposed
lying, hiding records. you know, and just this.
But how can you lie about something that you're not guilty of if she's not found guilty of those things? I'm just curious. Because well, it seems to me that it's always dragged out by those who despise her the most.
Right. Well, no, because they're going to be like a, you know, they're going to be a pit bull on a 5-year-old. They're not going to let go.
Mm-hmm. So she lies about things that end up being not necessary to lie about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But then
it's
why
a weird impulse. It's a weird. It seems like I was named after Edmund Hillary.
But then it would seem to me that she would be held accountable for lying about the things she didn't even need to lie about. Kind of like when Bill Clinton,
yeah,
was
I did
the
not
bigger
have
problem.
Sexual relations.
I know.
Yeah, he didn't break any. I mean, he didn't break, well, except for perjury, which is, you know, a crime. But before that, you know, I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
But,
what
right.
What ticked off Americans was that he waved his bony little finger.
Ah, ah. I don't even know what that.
His bony finger.
My ears hurt. Just, I'm glad that you finished that sentence. That was very
and
strange.
Lied to us.
You waved a cigar at her, sir. There was.
God. You know, there's some things you can forgive. Doing that to a really good cigar is unforgivable.
It's not like you can't smoke it afterwards. I mean,
yeah,
who's to say?
It hurts.
It has to dry out.
Of course you can't.
You let it dry out. That's the humidor is for, isn't it?
It doesn't, yes, it doesn't do cool that. Patterns.
All right. All of you must now live with that image. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by our very own car guy, Warren, European and U.S. Auto, 4080 North Broadway. Go to EuropeanandUSAuto.com or call
773. No, let's go to 773-248-1200.
That's 0000.
No, that's 844.
Now
zero,
he's
zero,
just
zero,
playing
zero.
With our minds.
I know, but yeah. Now we're screwing it up for him because it's his business.
Yeah, I have no idea how many numbers we just said. That's not a phone number.
So many numbers.
248-1200-773.
By the way, up in traffic, and by the way, Esmeralda, you know anytime you need to jump in. Just if you're burning, you got to jump into the conversation. Esmeralda,
oh, goodness.
Will be on up in traffic.
Yes.
I don't know what's, you know, if you're burning, yearning, sipping water.
Churning.
I'm going to stop now. Hi, Esmeralda.
Hi.
Are people being safe on the roads?
Yes. Yeah, actually, it's quite.
If they have any accidents, you know what you could do, Esmeralda?
Send them to you.
You could tell them to go to 773-248-1200.
There it is. And also, by the way, Scott Santos doesn't have to drive here. He has the luxury of getting to walk.
Yeah.
You have a lovely, lovely condo within walking distance.
We do.
And so good
we're
to
lucky.
See you. And, no, and I saw you walk by, and you'd be like, she's not going to see me, and you didn't wave. But
oh, I usually look over here. I usually wave, and then you just
don't
see me.
I know,
so.
But tonight I saw you go by.
Oh.
I was like, oh,
and then
this
I had my head down
because
it's raining grumpy.
Yeah, grumpy Scott. Well, how do you take tomorrow's activity when you're looking at the story of the Chicago Public Teachers?
I'm not a fan of public unions. I'll be the first to say, because it means the union is an adversary against the public. But by turns, I think private unions have been diminished to a point where it's almost dangerous. They need to come back, and they need to come back in large numbers.
Okay. So asked and answered. So we're done. Anyway.
So we're looking at tomorrow.
Meaning that you're not a fan of tomorrow's activity.
No,
which,
of course not.
In which the Chicago Public Teachers are going to be off the job. They're going on strike tomorrow for one day. They'll be protesting at City Hall. But they won't be reprimanded. The union, I guess, they're going to take legal action against the union because it's, I can't remember what the law is, but it's not
whatever.
A legal strike. Parents are divided on this. And here's where I was in a restaurant with one of the parents from Griffin's class, and he was really upset. And he was like, he was yelling. He was like, they are so far down on the list of people who really are struggling right now in the state of Illinois. He's like, you know, services. There was a story the other day about this caregiver who cares for an adult with developmental disabilities, and he has not been paid for 6 weeks, and he still shows up every single day.
Wow.
Because he knows that without him, and he doesn't know how much longer he can hold out. And I guess, I mean, yeah,
that person has a heart.
But I think that at this point what's happening is this is what the impasse is doing to us. It's kind of turning us against each other. Well, we're like, what about mine? Why are you doing that? I'm struggling too. And the nerve of you know, asking for your peace. But I'm afraid to get to that point where I'm like, you know, the services for my son, you know, when those start getting cut off, I'll be like, hey, what about
us? I mean, they were offered a decent contract, quite frankly, that they turned down. It's certainly better than anyone else's being offered currently. And so that's got to be galling for people as well. You know, I'm not sure this is tied in directly with the logjam than is Springfield.
Well, part of it is because because they said they would not give any more money to the city of Chicago for education. That was one of the things
that
Rauner said.
There's a percentage that the state gives to the Board of Education every year.
Right.
A lot.
Well, and this whole deadlock thing is just starting to really frost my shorts. Initially, I was like, yay, Governor Rauner, okay, you're standing up for... And now I'm just like, dude, this is really getting old. Can we do something about this? Can we meet halfway? I don't know if Madigan would do that. I'm not sure if Cullerton seems to be more amenable to that. But, mm-hmm. you know, I think the people of Illinois now are to the point where, you know, they've had nothing but a steady diet of 30, 40, 50, 70. Well, how old is the state? 170 years old?
18, what is it, Craig? 1832?
I thought that was
1818. Maybe it's 1818. Maybe it's
1819?
Somewhere around there.
Okay, anyway. It's old. Okay. Many, well, Craig, over Google 150 years.
The birth of Illinois. What year do we become a state?
Ask Siri.
Hey, I have a question for Craig. On-air production meeting. Michelle L'Amour, who is sending a friend of hers from Naked Girls Reading.
Truth.
She wants to know if she should call in, too, during that segment.
The answer is yes.
Okay, yes, please. Yes, please. We'd love that. We'd love for you to call.
Illinois became the 21st state on December 3rd, 1818.
Hey! Yeah. I don't know why I got so excited since I guessed
Good
wrong
job,
the first time.
Betty.
I had numbers. It was numbers twirling around my head, and then I landed on the one that was right.
But don't you get the sense that people are just sort of, there's still not anger about this at all.
Can I
I actually laugh. How's that? I think it's a joke that the governor hasn't done.
Like
anything.
I said, since 1818, we've been living with this crap. And it just keeps going. I think people are resigned to either the corruption or the incompetence, or a happy combination of both.
Well, okay, when you say resigned, and this was what I wanted to talk about earlier when I said, you know, can we just accept that the outrageous things that you say is your truth and the outrageous things that I say based on my beliefs are my truth, rather than going after each other and getting angry as we are now, as now there is violence at Trump rallies. There are people, I mean, now there was a girl that was pepper sprayed because she felt that she'd been groped and she went to go take a swing at the guy. So then someone pepper sprayed her in the face. Obviously in Chicago, it was all over the news that there was some violence that erupted. It was not that out of control. Craig and I were in the crowds, but there were pockets of, you know.
Well, if you didn't see it, then it was you.
It was, yeah. Wow. Craig, I had no idea. That was you.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry for all the violence I caused.
No, look out. There's going to be a warrant for our arrest.
Yeah, I'm probably going to prison.
My question a few days after that was, yeah, okay, fine, you're angry. But instead of turning it outward and as though your opinions are now your identity, when someone disagrees with you, you get mad at them. People get mad at me at the sound of my voice when I question, you know, what Donald Trump actually stands for. What do you actually do? What are we all actually physically, what are we materially doing to make things better in our life? Whether it's voting or calling our representatives or helping our neighbors or doing something on our block or getting involved in community organizations that help and make this place a better world. What are we actually doing except for yelling at each other? I'm just curious.
Well, I was given a speech last week to a group of professionals, and I pointed to them and they said, you know, asking almost that same question. And my response was, you have to run for office. Here's the thing. Good people have to run for office.
Right.
You may lose. You probably will. But that's not the point.
Right.
The point is getting involved, getting your voice out there, so that rational people can run, smart people, good people can also offer themselves for public service. And we don't have that anymore. You don't have that Kennedy-esque kind of, you know, we're going to, you know, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country.
People are afraid to take a chance.
Well, and yes, and running for office, yes, I agree with that. But I also think that taking a step back and really, you know, asking what am I doing? And this goes for all sides. And I include people who are fighting for Black Lives Matter. Okay, but what are you doing materially in your lives to improve your own life, the life for your children, for the life in your block, the life in your community? And yes, there are hardships and there is an economic disparity between the neighborhoods in Chicago. But there has to be something that begins at home, that begins in your own house. Every single one of us. And that the same thing with Janesville, Wisconsin. That guy that pepper sprayed this girl. What are you actually doing that's better than that? What are you doing that's making the world a better place instead of calling her an N-word lover? That's what he was yelling at her.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that's what he was yelling at her because she was fighting for. This is what we've come to. You know what? Yes, bad things are happening in the Black community. And yes, bad things are happening in the white community. Bad things are happening in the Asian community. Bad things are happening in the Hispanic community. At what point can we go, we all want a better life. We all want a better for our children. We all want to maintain our way of life or make things better. At what point can we just go, okay, and who's the person that speaks to that most? And we, you know, we if Donald Trump's the one that speaks to you, fine, vote for him. But really going out and being violent and wanting to espouse these ideas that all Mexicans are rapists and drug dealers, and that if that's
what
you're
drawn
to.
Well, he did say some of them, I suppose, are good.
I suppose. I suppose. And as my mother said, I never raped anyone. I don't care what your father says. Do I have a break before the news? Yeah, there it is. My dad never complained. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on this rainy night. Looks like it slowed down a little bit here on Michigan Avenue. Joining me in the studio is political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis.
That's
Esmeralda
me.
Leon is up in the traffic, making sure that all
yes,
the roads are as you need them to
She's
be.
She's in the air.
She's in. Oh, dear.
Yeah, I'm in a helicopter.
Have you ever wanted to?
No.
Me neither.
They're frightening.
They're a little bit.
I heard that they fall down all the time. Someone
okay.
told me.
Okay. Can I tell you this quick story before we go to Jill on the phone? Robin Baumgarten used to do traffic. Did you know that, Robin, from WGN Morning
yes.
News?
Yeah, actually.
So when she was leaving Jonathan Brandmeier's show, this is a long time ago, I was doing a temp job. I was doing data entry. That's how long ago that was, Scott Stantis. For the Ganella Bread Company.
Reagan
no
was president. The hurly-gurly was a dance de jour sweeping the nation, and gas was a nickel.
It was, kind of. When she said she was leaving to do traffic and she would be doing the helicopter reports for WGN Morning News, he started playing audio of a traffic reporter who went down in a helicopter.
He would do that.
Yeah, he would. It was so like even now when I think about it, yeah, he played this tragic audio from a helicopter.
It was going, a woman in Phoenix, wasn't it?
It was somewhere. I don't remember which one it was, but this was about... It has to be like 97, 98 was about when she went over to WGN Morning News. And yeah, it was hard. And he would do it like repeatedly. That guy knows how to beat a horse. until it... Jill, I feel it's... Hey, Jill, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Patty. Enjoying the show.
Thank you.
Are you up in Wisconsin?
I'm from calling from Wisconsin. So yeah, I haven't voted yet on the 4th. I think we vote here.
Okay.
So I'll be voting for. It's late at night. How do you say his name? Kasich. I cannot say
Kasich.
That man's name. John Kasich.
Kasich.
Kasich. Yes.
Kasich.
Governor Kasich of Ohio.
John.
Because he's the only one who doesn't seem legally insane.
Okay. I've heard that.
The people who are really making me mad are the people who are complaining to you about this and that. And I'll say, well, you know, are you voting? No, I'm not voting.
Right. I agree.
I had people say they never vote. I said, are you scared about jury duty? Why? In the military, and, you know, I said, people have fought and died so you could vote, mm-hmm. and you're not going to vote. It's just, that bugs, I don't know about you, but that bugs me.
The bejesus, bugs the bejesus.
Oh, listen, I worked in the South for 13 years. My kids were born in Tennessee, actually, and so I have some Southern roots. When I see in the Black community particularly, it's...
And women, community. When women don't vote, it makes
yes.
me crazy.
I mean, women suffered and died for this. African Americans obviously got shot, lynched, mm-hmm. bombed
right.
for this
right.
And if you don't, you know, have you, know,
you
just
and I
get
want
your
to use so much
off the
other
couch.
Language, don't we?
Yes,
and along with women,
yes,
women. You know, the women worked hard for the vote. I just don't understand it.
Well, I'm glad you are exercising. Yes.
Well, I had a little last night advice. It was interesting listening to you because my cat decided to run out the door, and I caught her in the window frame, and she decided to scratch my eye out. So instead of making noises at her, she got screamed at pretty good.
Oh, yeah, she did. Well, there you go, Craig. Just scream.
Bad
kitty.
Bad kitty. Varying injuries.
Yeah.
Hey, Jill, before we let you go, can I ask you a quick question?
Of course.
Who are your friends voting for? What kind of sense do you get up there? Because it's kind of close between Cruz and Trump, and Kasich is coming up. But if you had to call it today, given an informal poll of your friends and acquaintances and family, what would you say?
Right. Now, here it's weird. We can vote for whoever we want. We don't have to have a Democratic or a Republican ballot. But my younger friends all are voting for Bernie. Mm-hmm. And I work on the east side, which is very liberal. and most of those people are voting for Bernie.
Interesting.
Some of the older women there are voting for, in fact, volunteering for Hillary.
Of course they are.
Some of the older, lower, middle-class women I know are voting for Trump. And then...
Sorry.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know who else they're voting for. To me, the only one who doesn't make me nervous is Kasich because he seems stable. You know, it's like they said, the best ones, the brightest and best aren't there. It's not the pick of the litter.
Isn't it the damnedest thing? Especially on the Republican side. We talked about this a year ago. They had a very deep, interesting bench, you know, whether or not you're a Republican.
Thank you, Jill, by the way. Wonderful call, by the way.
Thank you. And it was just really deep and interesting. I thought, this is going to be great. It's going to be substantive. It's going to be about the issues. It's going to be, you know, the marketplace of ideas. This is going to be, wait, Don Trump? Wait. Nah, he can't be. Oh, come on.
Did you see the open letter from the woman who was hired to be his press, correspondent?
I didn't read it. Did you read it?
I read a lot of it her sense of it was that they never intended for him to really do much better than getting double digit polling numbers. Like they would have been happy with a 12% of the poll. And she was saying that like at first, the thing is that she says he's completely unprepared to be the president of the United States.
That's what you want to hear.
Yeah. From somebody who worked on the campaign, just pretty much quit not too long ago. I'll find the information for you. But she was saying that she was very surprised. She assumes responsibility for helping build up the campaign, for building up this persona, for putting it out there, for, you know, solidifying it, for, you know, sort of getting people riled up. And she says that
with one exception in my life, who does a late night radio show in Chicago, Illinois. Most people did not know and were convinced to their marrow.
Now, wait a minute. I can't figure out who that one person, late night radio show. It's Patty.
But you know what it is?
Rhymes with Paztez.
Maybe it is because, thank you. Maybe it is because I am on late night and because in the middle of the night when I talk, there are people who get very riled up. They get very angry at the things I say. And they tend to be folks that might be drawn to a Trump campaign and they send very ugly texts and Facebook messages. They have very strong opinions on how much they dislike me. They say they won't listen to me, and then we get another text the next day. And from my sense of that, you know, being called someone who obviously learned English as a second language, which is not the case, but I did grow up in a household where my mother, you know, did learn English as a second language, so I talk a little bit faster because that's how she speaks Spanish. It's also how I cover up sometimes the fact that I'm not quite sure how a word is pronounced, so I kind of speed through it.
You do fine.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. But it makes people angry. The sound of my voice makes some people angry. So I was not surprised that there were people who were angry and wanted to lash out at the kinds of things that I seem to represent to them.
That allegorical information translated into you seriously being one of the only high profile media people in the country who got that this guy had a chance.
Not just from the way they respond to me, but the things that I saw online, yelling at each other on Facebook. Because
that's amazing.
They often do that. I mean, and that was what I said the first night, Craig. Craig looked at me like I was super crazy. And then the calls came in like that. The first call, Craig was like, I can't believe I'm taking this call.
You know what doesn't make people angry? Naked girls reading.
Let's go to them. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Well, we have people in the studio, Craig. It's hard for me to get back to work when there's some. I have Scott Stantis, our cartoonist, political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, and joining us now from many things lovely and sexy is Leslie.
You never introduced me that way.
I'm sorry. Lovely and sexy?
Yeah.
Goddess of love incarnate. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We were asked to include you in our favorites because we have a favorite named Michelle L'Amour who has been on the show many times.
She
said, please, please, I guarantee you will enjoy spending time with Leslie. And I already have.
She's good. She's good. We're doing a little event tomorrow. She's doing her Naked Girls reading of my book, Goddess of Love Incarnate, which is kind of appropriate. Striptease, burlesque lady, Lily Sincere. And I just wrote the biography about her. And So Michelle's going to heat it up.
So Lily Sincere is this, the biography. What generation of burlesque performers?
She was big 30s, 40s, 50s. Not 30s, excuse me. She started 30s. She really became big 40s, 50s, and was really big here.
So
in
this,
Chicago.
How wonderful that you wrote a historical biography on one of the. So would you say? Okay, I'm not familiar with.
She's actually in her day. She was bigger than anybody. Bigger than Gypsy Rose Lee. She made more money. Everybody knew who she was. She was very, because she was so beautiful and classy and gorgeous. She was very much accepted. Mm-hmm. She was the first stripper to perform in a nightclub in Ciro's in Los Angeles, and the first stripper. This is unbelievable in Las Vegas. Before
what?
The restaurant, she opened it up. Yes.
So who brought her into Vegas? Which I'm going to say like Bugsy. Who
El
was
Rancho.
It? El Rancho.
Yeah. And because she was so accepted. So men and women went, and it was a different kind of a thing. It was like, oh, that. So really in her day, we don't know her so much today. She was huge, huge, huge. Everybody would have known who she was.
What made Gypsy Rose sort of the one that stands the test of time?
She had a bigger personality. She was a better promoter. Lily was very shy.
In the sense of marketing, not in the sense
absolutely.
Of being on stage.
Well, she was on stage. She actually didn't show very much, and she usually came on in lingerie and then had a little scenario like, oh, I'm preparing for a date, so I'd have to change my clothes, and that's how she did a strip. It wasn't towards the audience. It wasn't for the audience. It was like, I'm in my own little world here, and you know,
inside the story. Yeah. And that was where she could live, kind of creating that imagery. Wonderful.
Yeah. So that's another thing that made her very, she was one of the more acceptable ones.
Oh, wonderful. Know? Now, how long did this book take you to write?
5 years.
Five.
Wow.
Her sister came to me. My first documentary, I also make documentaries, was Behind the Burlesque, which was the history of burlesque, talking to, people from the 30s, 40s, 50s who had worked in it. And afterwards, her sister came to me, who's 90 and who's still alive today, who was married to the biggest burlesque producer, Minsky, who you all know, mm-hmm. and was huge in Chicago. She came to me and said, you have to write this book. I was like, no, I'm really not interested. I wrote one. I want to like get out. I don't need to be in burlesque ever again, but of course I will be forever now. And I just found out some really amazing things about Lily and, you know, how rich she was and how, you know, she had, you know, all these lovers that were well known. And
she ever get married?
Six times.
Six times.
I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wiki.
Yeah. But, you know, she had affairs with Artie Shaw and, you know, Yul Brynner. And she was very much in the zeitgeist of her day.
And by the way, her name is Lily Sincere.
Sincere.
It's
pronounced that way, but it was... You know, it's a made-up name, obviously, but it was
Well, if you look
sincere.
At Lily, Sincere is a porn star now. So
Yes,
you know.
Please.
From the research you've done for both of these books, what would you say, how would you sort of describe the attitudes of audiences, like the attitude toward burlesque in general?
Well, it depends. Actually, in its day, when it first started, it was acceptable. Mm-hmm. It was men and women and couples. And then it became kind of a thing that they were ashamed of. Even today when I talk about that I'm a historian of this, oh, well, you know, it's really pornography and these girls were prostitutes and it wasn't at all.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, no, they were making a living. They weren't doing lap dancing. They were doing a show and they showed very little.
Even this image that Scott just showed me with Lily Sincere, it looks like some sort of a big bird. And you can see that she
created an act.
Right. Well, it seems like she's telling a story from her feet all the way through her hands. You can see that
they were
in that
dancers.
Picture.
And her in particular, she would go on stage. She spent all her money on real jewels. And she would come in Dior and Balenciaga gowns and furs on top of furs. I mean, it was very, it's just not what people think of a stripper mm-hmm. or burlesque being, you know, they just run on stage and they throw off their clothes. No, they actually created an art form out of what they did. And for a lot of these women, which people don't understand, they didn't have the opportunities in that day, in the 30s when she was raised, in the 40s, to be much else. You know, right. She wasn't very well educated. She was smart, but... You know,
this was a place where she could be creative and, you know, sort of reach her potential of what she wanted to embody. Wow, that's a really remarkable story.
Yeah, she was really incredible. And it was three sisters, and they all got into burlesque.
Oh, really?
In various forms. One married a millionaire, one married the biggest producer in burlesque, and Lily, who married a lot of people. But she was, the biggest star of her day.
You know, there's a moment, I think, in a young woman's life, if she's ever considering using her body to make money, right? Whether that, and she doesn't understand what that means. And I've talked about this on the show before. I actually, and Scott, this may be new news for you. Craig is familiar. I don't know if Esmeralda's heard me talk about this. But I came at a point early in my comedy career where I needed to pay rent. I had dropped out of grad school. I was like, I kept hearing these ads, and I kept seeing these things in the paper. And it was Dance at Heavenly Bodies. So I went and I checked it out, and it was a really seedy joint over by the airport. And it was not something I wish I had found some other way or some. I didn't have any. I was curious. And my mother, by the way, Craig, I think I told you this. My mom said, if I had a body like yours, I would have made so much money. Mom has also said, I looked good when I was young. I could have made a lot of money, but you can make a lot of money. Yes, Mom, you said something along those lines. I might be paraphrasing, but you know it's true. Let's not get into it. But it was confusing for me. I'm in my 20s, and there wasn't the burlesque scene. There also wasn't social media. How did women in the 30s and 40s? You said that these women kind of married into it or found it. There wasn't that sort of community. I just knew that there was a way to make money or to express yourself with your body, and I was curious.
A lot of them got into it very much happenstance. Somebody, usually a boyfriend or a husband, here, do this, try this. And they really found it as an opportunity.
Right.
A lot of them did want to be actors. They wanted to be movie stars, but they didn't have the training. Maybe they didn't have the talent. They didn't have, whatever it takes to make it in that way. But they could create something, and they weren't really doing anything wrong, even though... Even today, there's still such a stigma and a misconception. I interviewed women who, for 50 years, never talked about it. I interviewed one woman who didn't tell her sons until the year before I interviewed her.
Right.
Because there was that shame. They were like, it means, stripper means a certain thing.
Right. I was trying to explore. I had grown up being ashamed of my body because I had developed early. I was a big boob girl in high school. They called me baboon butt in grade school because I didn't really know how to balance things out. Mm. And when I realized that, as I got older and I was kind of trying to own it, I was curious about that. I was curious about sort of having that sort of power. And there is a vulnerability when you are a lap dancer or you're trying to do the pole dancing. At that place, the security was really terrible. So, you would have guys like shove their head in your boobs or grab you. And, I would end up getting into arguments. The way I actually ended up getting fired.
Wow.
Oops.
Wow.
The way I ended up, there was a customer. Because, the thing, and so this is different from burlesque. Burlesque is a performance, whereas.
And, the customer's not touching you.
No, they're not touching you.
And you're not mingling
and
with them.
So Heavenly Bodies was a bikini bar. So it wasn't full nudity. And actually, my whole gig was wearing black. I was always black and white. And I would wear a long pearl necklace. And I tried to do different looks. Right. And go-go boots. It was not even the right mix. I'm sorry. But if I couldn't pull on the necklace, I couldn't be suggestive with the neck. I could only do certain moves, but I couldn't tug on the necklace because the security would come over and tell me I couldn't do that. Uh-huh. But guys with their hands on my hips and you would have to go up to a customer, and it was mostly flirting. And that was the part that I could never, it was the talking having the conversation. I just want to slide on that pole over there. Craig's like, how far are you going to go with this conversation?
We could totally take a break. No problem.
How long did you do that for?
Only a few months.
One of the most interesting things I found out in burlesque is it was so different than today. There was all body types. Mm-hmm. Not one of the women talked about, I should be thinner, I should be fatter, I should be this or I should be that, or none of them. They were kind of like, I was hot. And they were all different body types. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the perfect thing.
And women hated, the girls hated me there because I was bigger. They were like, when did you get those done? I'm like, no, look at how saggy they are. Come on. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Someday, Craig, we will someday record what's going on off the air. But
someday, but not today.
Until that day, I can say whatever I want.
Ooh, you can put them in like a pay thing.
We can put them where?
In like a pay subscription.
Yes.
Because they're going to be dirty and all that.
Do you think that we would then be guarded? We would censor ourselves? Like the conversation I'm having with Leslie Zemeckis.
No, that would be and Scott Santis. I don't think we're said anything that's bad.
That's bad. I have cussed several times in the last few moments.
Okay, well, that's the premium. You got to be ready for that.
Yeah, but I would think you guys would say whatever you're talking about on air if you could.
Do you have headphones, Leslie? That's our traffic reporter.
I actually proposed that once for a radio show, saying we do the, you know, at the end of the hour, you add another extra 10 minutes of an interview that's really going well. And, you know, all the rules are lifted.
Let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah. And, you know.
My chips would fall in different places.
Yes, they would.
I would owe chips. Craig is trying to think.
This idea is so great. Question mark.
It's not.
Question mark.
I mean, our listeners would not be surprised that off the air I sound a little different. I think we've talked about that before.
You don't sound that different. You don't. You say a few.
Scott, she sounds a little different.
Just a little bit different. Yes. Like, have you ever hung out with Kathy and Judy? They sound a little different too. Just so you know. By the way, they have inspired me and have had a great influence on my career. And I'm sure that that Leslie Zemeckis is all. Oh, she. I'm sorry. Don't take some photos. Get it done. You look
Instagram.
I have a series of selfies called Selfish Selfies, which means I keep taking them until I look good.
So, oh, you look fabulous in all of them.
Right? That's why. I don't use the ones that didn't work, my friend.
Hello?
The right angle.
The claw.
The claw. Right. Yes, I have
take like 20. It's like whatever works.
And with a group of people, it's so hard because you take one and they start moving. What are you doing?
Oh, gosh. I've been in one where there have been like, seems like 17 people. And you're like, the claw, we got to wait. Yes. We're all smiling.
So, Leslie,
and then she'll go, wait, another one. Bangs aren't working.
Super.
Yeah. My bangs are never working, just so you know. So this is called the claw. So I can grab the phone and take a picture like without the. Yes.
What is the claw?
So this is how I hold the phone. It's with the. Yeah, I will teach you before you leave. I promise.
It's a secret.
It is. Yeah, I can. Look, we can.
Although people who are streaming us live on the internet can see this.
Oh, come on. We got to get one.
Get one right. Okay, get right there. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Thank you. That's good radio.
Everybody's like listening to this going, what are they doing? Because we can't see it whatsoever.
I can't talk and take a picture. Let me see if I can talk and take a photo.
Okay, here we go.
I can still talk. And take a
photo. You guys look great.
It looks
lovely. That was really good.
Wait, it's a double
pick.
All right, then. Thank you very much.
Is the bang still working?
No.
I've never had whatever this is, but it's so good.
Oh, it's so good. That is
a spice box. Isn't that great?
Yes.
We were actually going by Benny's and they were doing a tasting. I'm not a whiskey guy. And they said, you want to try this? Okay, and then there was love,
and it's going to be all gone soon.
We have many bottles back home, so we're cool.
I have Raisinets, by the way. If anyone needs some chocolate, if you have any, and Whoppers,
if your sugar level isn't high enough,
I do sense that
reduce a coma.
When Michelle Lamour's in studio, she's like, "I have a show this weekend. Please do not put that in front of me."
Like she has anything to worry about.
I know. She is spectacular.
She looks amazing.
She hasn't called, by the way. I said
and Michelle was in studio one time in her costume.
In her costume?
Yeah, that's
tassels,
what we call it.
Our tassels,
you know what?
Costume?
She might be
on her way. I don't
working?
Know.
Oh, please have Michelle show up too.
I know.
That'd be cool.
She's spectacular. Well, now she's introduced us to Leslie Zemeckis, and we are thrilled about
that.
We are
just as thrilled, yes.
And you know I'm a local, sort of.
Are you really?
Yeah, I have a house here.
I did not know that you were
You're
local.
Originally from California, though, so you're a Cali girl. Where are you from?
San Diego.
Where? Wait.
San Diego.
No, what part?
No, but people say that it's like, well, San Diego. Like, no part.
Mm-hmm. No part of San Diego. I'm from Claremont, so I grew up in San Diego.
Wait a minute. Hold on one second. Has he grown up in Alabama and Madison, Wisconsin, and now
California? Yes. No, I moved from California when I was 11 years old. My dad moved us to Madison, friggin' Wisconsin.
This is very sad.
You know, it's weird. Whenever there's a somewhat attractive lady in there, Scott Stantis' place of origin changes.
No, go on Wikipedia.
So does mine. I'm from Alabama.
Oh, my God, it's working. Scott, this is the first time it's working.
That was good. Was that a good Alabama?
That's very good.
Very good Alabama.
Can you do Madison?
Yes.
Wisconsin.
No. One of the most interesting women who just recently passed away was Blaise Starr.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I called her.
The governor of...
Yeah.
Louisiana.
Yeah.
That's the one.
I would call and she talked to me like this. I was like, she was like almost 80. I was like, Blaise, you sound like you're 19 and I want to sleep with you.
Nice.
She'd be like, yes, I know. I was like, incredible. Just Southern.
Yes.
She retained her flavor, but, you know.
That, by the way, is a great movie, if people are not familiar with
it. She had a little teeny part in it. But yeah.
Did she really?
Yeah, and she was very proud of it.
What did she play?
I don't know. I don't remember. I saw it so long ago, but she sent me a picture of her with
Paul Newman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Craig, let's put that on our movie list. We do. We're doing a movie conversation. We do. What are the rest of our movies going to be called? We have Semper Film. We watch movies with Marines. Leslie, by the way, we have
Marines
with Marines. I met some Marines who took me to San Diego just a few weeks ago. Aww. For boot camp.
What part of San Diego?
Did you have to
boot camp Marine recruit the depot?
So Pendleton, man.
Yeah.
Did you have to do sit-ups or something?
I did all of it. I carried ammunition cans. I did the bayonet course.
There's a picture you posted recently. You're in.
All full
You're
gear.
In helmet, the full gear.
Let's not talk about what. Let's not talk about what happened
That's
on the bayonet
sexy.
Course.
Is that a metaphor?
Something bad happened on the bayonet course that we don't need to revisit again. But they, yeah, there were a lot of people yelling at me. The drill instructors, as cute as they are in their tight shirts, there was a lot of yelling. Got a little. There was a moment where I'm like, "Go on without me," and I pretty much collapse in a foxhole. So there was shame. There was shame on the bayonet.
This just sounds like a metaphor for.
I don't know. Shame.
What? Tight shirts, foxholes.
Oh, so I'm good. Just so much fun. So they hang out with us.
Bayonets.
Once a month, we do Semper Film with our Marines. But I think Blaze needs to be one of the films that we preview and share with our audience. We're doing a movie club. That's what we're doing with our audience.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes. By the way, Monday's movie, we are going to be talking about Smokey and the Bandit. So that's.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Now that he's denying that he liked doing his. Playgirl thing. You heard that?
Is he really denying
what?
It? He's saying, oh, I'm so ashamed of it. I wish I'd never done it. Oh, you haven't read that?
Yeah.
No. Why?
It's his latest thing.
Can I need to.
He looks fabulous.
You look very familiar, but I don't know your name. Come on over to the. Will you come to the microphone? No.
I'm just part of the entourage.
All right. Then. And another great voice. But she's nodding about the Playboy experience for Burt Reynolds. I had not heard that he's now.
It's his big thing.
Backing away from his. Wow.
What's the context?
Why now?
Why? Yeah.
I don't know.
He should have manscaped because he does look very mammalian there. He just there's a lot of fur.
Well, but that was the thing in the
day.
Yeah. No, I know.
We all had hair in the day.
Nobody's got hair anymore.
It was a hairy decade.
Okay, yeah. Can I tell you that when we watched Stripes, when we watched Stripes with the Marines, one of the Marines said, I think I'm going to see some bush. Because he hasn't. He's in his 20s.
What is that thing?
I'm saying he has
that's
not.
That's right. They have no concept.
And then he saw and he was like, yep, there it is. That's not bad.
What is that stuff?
What do you think about that? The way that we kind of now take care of ourselves, is it dictated by porn or are we dictating
you
porn?
You know, I don't know. That's really interesting because I don't deal with that. But, you know, obviously when I was talking to these women, I said, what did you do when you had your period? And some of them were like, I don't know. You know, they kind of was like...
They blocked it. Mental block.
So I never really got an answer, although one, you know, Dixie Evan, who's really like a big sort of in the 50s, she was like, well, we had a sponge and you just shoved it.
There you go. There
but
it is.
But it was, you know, but they did where most women didn't, you know, obviously you had to shave because those, you know, little G-strings were tiny.
Right.
So maybe it comes from it. I try not to equate burlesque with porn, even though
that's
it's
fair enough.
Evolution,
fair
but
enough.
They are really different.
They are very different.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and the thing is, and I think that the audience, and that was my question about audiences, are they able to distinguish, you know, because there is a saturation of porn. Mm-hmm. There's an oversaturation. It is having too much of an impact culturally. Are they able to distinguish when they go to a burlesque performance that it's different than a striptease?
No, because a lot of these girls say, why are these people still trying to touch me?
Right.
Or make inappropriate, will you come home with me? It's like, no, that has nothing to do with anything.
Right.
Anything at all.
Yeah, there's sort of a sense of entitlement that porn seems to give.
It's like, okay, you take off your clothes, so that means it's free reign. No, it's not at all.
Right. That's, you know, that was my thing about working at Hooters. I remember Janine Garofalo when I was working there, not me directly, but she was saying that the women who work at places like Hooters give men the right to say whatever they want to us. And I didn't see it that way at all, because when I worked at other restaurants, I was treated worse than I was at Hooters. Mm. Like, I was not. There are the things that men would say to me when I worked at Grizzly Lodge on Lincoln Avenue wearing black. Yes.
Okay, that's a little frightening.
We served game, wild game, like buffalo and alligator and venison and rabbit. And I would have to wear a lumberjack shirt and black pants I'm not even kidding. And men would say the most outrageous. If I dropped something and I went to pick it up, hey, while you're down there, why don't you give me a little help? Like that kind of, like that never happened to me.
No, and here's the thing. I think men give themselves permission to do that, and it's disgusting.
Well, obviously.
No, you because women go to strip joints. They go to, you know, and see guys, and you don't see them the next day, like, objectifying the waiter at Denny's.
But it's not objectifying. It's just like, for somehow we equate, oh, there's a nude person in front of me, free game, you know, they're not a real person. Mm-hmm. They don't have values. It's just like, it's a body, and I can do with it what I will. Right. It's like, no, it's not really for you.
Yeah, it's hard to explain. Yes, Craig?
Do a lot of women actually go to, like, male strip clubs, too? Is that a that's not that
big
of a thing?
Are they still around?
I've never been.
Well, I'd say guys, well, they've got, you know, the naughty fireman or policeman who go to.
Well, I think we.
Patty, where do you go?
There was a bachelorette party at Zanies in Vernon Hills, and they hired someone to come to the club. And it was weird because, like, he was beautiful. And it was like, I think everyone was confused as to what they should be doing, because I think we've seen movies where women, like, scream and, you know, touch. And
it's like, do they? I don't. I've like, have you ever seen that? I've never even heard of anybody like, yeah, we went to, like, a male strip thing and we, like, pulled on their Johnson. It's like, really?
Yeah. Like, a group of girls doesn't get together and go to a male strip club. That's not something that happens.
Yeah, I've never been. I've been
or want to touch it.
Right.
You don't know where it's been.
That's true. More after this on 720 WGN. You don't know where that's been. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio and joined, as I always am, by Scott Santis, the political cartoonist of the Chicago Tribune.
I'm here.
Hello, sir.
Right here.
Also joined by author, documentarian, and... She's very excited. Take a selfie as I say your name. Leslie Zemeckis.
Like, wait, who am I? You validated me. So sad.
She's award-winning documentarian, by the way, and author of Behind the Burly Q. She's also now written the book Goddess of Love Incarnate, which is the life of striptease.
Striptease, which I've had arguments about, but it's an old-fashioned word, striptease.
I like it.
Striptease, striptease. It's, and Lily liked that. She was very much into to elevating her status.
Yes. This is beautiful. And the card that you've given me has a lovely photo of her. This is the cover.
It's the cover of the book. Yeah.
Yeah. This is beautiful. And some of the reviews are great. With tireless details, Zemeckis brings an enigmatic and forgotten star back into the limelight. And I wanted to ask you about this review, informative insight into the history of the times that helped shape and create the star. In what ways did the 30s, 40s, and 50s sort of have an impact? Obviously, there was a little more, you know, there were more constraints. But at the same time, World War II had to have had an impact.
You know, everything. We don't think about burlesque because we think, oh, it's nothing. Okay, Johnny Carson had skits literally from burlesque shows that had been 50, 60, 70 years old. Carol Burnett is burlesque. Saturday Night Live is burlesque. All, you know, MASH, Alan Alda and his father were burlesque. His father was a huge burlesque artist. We don't realize how it informs our comedy today, but that's what burlesque was, making fun of, poking fun of the upper classes. It was very much for the lower class. When it started in New York, immigrants were in New York and they didn't speak anything of English. So they would go to a show, but they could understand broad comedy. Then they can understand women and they can understand the tease. And that's what burlesque is, which people don't understand. It's very, very innocent. And it's very much for the everyman.
Right. And they have turned it into something where they're confused.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's nasty. Well, wait, and it was people.
Can I ask? I mean, this is maybe a quite crazy question, but I mean, it almost strikes me as performance art. In a lot of ways. I mean, it doesn't have... talk about the broad aspect of it, but from what I've been able to see...
Well, performance art to me is like you do your own thing wildly. It kind of had a formula. It was very much vaudeville, but it was naughty. Not so much, you know, wink, wink. But it was really for like somebody who's sitting in the audience. Their family is in Germany and they're not going to see them for 6 months. What are we going to do? I've got a nickel. I need to be entertained for an hour, and they can go someplace and they're accepted, because there's not many places you're going to be accepted if you're a lower class in the times, and you can sit there for hours and hours and hours if you want. and be entertained and then laugh. And then also during the Depression, you know, that's when burlesque really thrived, because Broadway, they couldn't afford to do shows. They couldn't afford to hire all these people. But, you know, people needed to, like, an escape. They needed to go someplace. A man like, oh, I'm out 5 hours a day looking for a job. I can't find one. Okay, I need a couple hours before I go home. They can go sit into this theater. And it was,
and lose themselves.
It really was comedy-based. It wasn't strip-based. That added, and of course, it's like it's competing with all these elements. 1946, we have the bikini. 1940s later, Playboy. And I'm not exactly sure. It's, you know, it's like all these facts in my head. You know, so that is the only way you could see a little leg. You could see a little something. But it wasn't nasty. It was just like, it was kind of relief for the everyday man.
I've been told in my ear that it was December 1953 for Playboy.
Thank you. Yeah, which was here.
Googling
here.
It, Craig. Yes.
Right, but here with 46, the bikini. So you couldn't see that kind of a body anywhere.
And that was the thing, the sort of the hint of was always the allure.
Just a real quick PS. I enjoyed Googling Playboy a lot more than that Burt Reynolds Playgirl thing. Just so you guys know.
I know. We're sure.
Much happier about that second reference.
It's quite the rug on his chest,
He's
isn't
very
it?
Very hairy, yeah.
Yes.
You should Google Candace Jordan, who's coming to my reading tomorrow night.
Okay, I will go ahead and Google that.
And also, I've just received a message from Michelle Lamour. She's on her way to the studio. Just so
love
her.
Oh, wow.
She was doing something, right?
She was performing tonight. She was going to call in, but she said she can come play. And we encourage that. Well, I literally said yay to her. Yeah. Michelle
Lamour. Oh, yeah, here I see her. She's like, okay, what is it? Oh, great. What's the number?
Yeah.
The number.
We were going to have her call in. But
okay, good.
I always love Craig, by the way. This happened last night with one of our regulars who asked, what's the number? I'm like, do you not know that?
312-981-7200.
312-981-7200.
Listeners can call. Michelle Lamour can call at all
Lenny
times.
Lenny Schmidt can call at all times.
Right? It's totally fine.
You know the studio number, right? At least the station number.
I
think it's kind of nice because they're like, well, I usually go there. I don't usually call.
See, this is really what I mean by performance art, though. It's like using... You have nudity in here, but you still have humor.
Not in here.
No, not here, not
but
in the showcase.
But it's only kind of nudity.
No, but do you see what I'm saying? But especially, we just talked about porn earlier, where it's so serious and so, frankly,
graphic.
Demeaning.
Yeah.
And so, and this actually takes it someplace very different.
It
flies in the face
humor
of convention.
Based. Humor-based.
Yeah, which
humor-based.
Flies in the face of the convention of what we think of Parian.
Well, one of my...
It wasn't to turn men on in that kind of a way.
Right. Although,
like,
to be perfectly honest,
almost, you saw something. You didn't see an elbow back then. You didn't see a knee back then.
To be perfectly honest, a sense of humor in a woman is extremely sexy if you're a civilized 21st century man.
Let's not go down that path of my career.
One of my favorite things about burlesque and the burlesque performances that we've had on the show and that I've actually gone and seen is my wife loves them. Every time I go to burlesque with my wife, she loves it. And it's because of what we said earlier, that the body types are all different, that the people performing are so passionate about what they're doing.
And they're
it's
also
not just
like,
nudity.
They're not seducing the man.
Correct.
Right.
It's not a threat. It's like I'm doing this little scenario. Like, you showed the picture of Lily when she had the bird and stuff.
Right.
It was like this whole thing about a bird and then it kills me and I die. And it has nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to take your man away. You're just looking at this little scenario.
Right. And my wife winds up cheering more than me. At the end of every show, she winds up on her feet screaming and yelling more than me.
We actually, I think that we were actually approached by one of the groups that wants to come in. By the way, they have a show opening. And we often have burlesque performers. And Susanna Deluxe Lee, I don't know if you're familiar with her.
Nice, the name, yep.
Yep, she does comedy clubs. She does stand-up comedy. And she also does burlesque. And I think that she, because I was opening for her. I was her MC one night. And I was about to move on to the next comic. And someone yelled out, "Where's the girl that takes off her clothes?" And it was, it's one of those things where, you know, the audience can ruin it for themselves in a way.
Absolutely.
And for everyone.
They don't get it. It's like, what? Excuse me?
Yeah. And when do you get a sense of how that changed? Was it in the 60s or 70s? Or
you know, I think I'm correct. I have arguments with other people. The 50s, it changed. Absolutely. 50s, it died out.
Okay.
You know, after World War II, you know, there was a market, the 40s, but then you have television coming in.
Mm-hmm.
You have radio. People are like, I don't need to go out to see this. You have the bikini, you know, the Playboy. It's like, and that's really what it was
more
about.
Access.
That was the absolute only way to see a leg. Not anything nastier than that, or to see a belly, or to see an arm. You just don't see that.
Right.
So, you know, as we, and also the comedy, it's another thing. The comedy becomes more sophisticated. That dies out. It's like, well, okay, we don't want to go to a burlesque show to like, I've got to like sit for a half hour and hear that before I see an, you know, a leg.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can sit at my home. So it's really the 50s. I have arguments with some people because, you know, they came into stripping in the 60s and 70s and they want to still call it burlesque. It really wasn't.
Right.
Burlesque was, you had 20 chorus girls. You had an MC. You had a huge, huge cast. And it died. You couldn't afford it.
It's an amazing story. We are hanging out with Leslie Zemeckis and Scott Stantis. Leslie has written the book Goddess of Love Incarnate, The Life of Striptease, Lily Sinclair.
Sincere.
I'm sorry. Now I'm reading everything. I got Striptease right. This
sincerely. It's a spice box.
It does. It is hard. It's Saint Seer.
But she it was called
but it's sincere.
Sincere.
Someday I'll get it right, Esmeralda. I promise.
You'll get it.
Yeah,
she's judging us harshly.
We're
up
looking
there.
Up there. It's like, is Michelle standing?
Esmeralda
the
is in that top. Is in that top monitor corner.
I'm above. I'm in the seventh traffic. Floor.
Yes, she is.
So I'm judging from above.
Don't judge us. From
I don't
above.
Judge.
She's
you.
Like
no
a vengeful one. God. From
no one
above.
Just. By the way, Michelle Lamour is on her way. She says, "Stay put." Like
we're trying.
Like we're leaving.
Trying, Michelle.
Like,
we're getting tired. I gotta go for your event tomorrow
yeah,
night.
We're just saying. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is award-winning documentarian and author of Burly Q is Leslie Zemeckis. And Scott Stantis has left the studio to give entrance to Michelle Lamour. I think this is the way things should be. I think that Scott should be our doorman from now on. He doesn't know that.
I mean, I yeah. would have gotten Michelle Lamour, but everybody else, that's fine.
Yeah. I know. Everyone's running. Michelle, come on in. Can you come sit next to Leslie?
Yes, sit next to me.
This, by the way, I've never told you this, but they're the hottest spots in the studio. I usually have you sit next to me because I like when you sit next to me. Yes, do selfies.
Will you switch?
Yeah, no, the reason this is the hot spot. I like having her next to me. I like looking at you as well, Scott.
Aww.
Don't be sensitive, but you know the secret as well. The spots that are for the cameras, WGNradio.com, by the way, go to our live streaming. The seat that Michelle Lamour is in is the one that gets the best angle and the lighting from that
oh,
camera. Right.
Nice.
So it's straight at her. Can we find a cup for Michelle Lamour? Do you take
yeah.
my cup? Because
oh,
I'm done.
I'm
here you go. Give her. Do you mind drinking out of my
cups?
Michelle, do you mind? Oh, the one-eared Michelle Lamour. Her headphones won't. Here,
you
pass us a.
Is there before you got here.
Is there any left for Michelle? Any left yeah. for Michelle? Oh, there it is. It's not for me. I'm good.
I'm poo.
Michelle Lamour, where were you tonight?
I was doing a show at Untitled. Hi.
Oh, wonderful.
Cheers.
We haven't seen you since your performance at, you were, hold on a second, Carnival
oh,
was your last show. And you. Yes. It sounds like it was a wonderful turnout for that as well.
Yeah, it was really great.
Yay.
Yeah, it was a really big moment for me.
And thank you so much for introducing us to Leslie Zemeckis, because it's been a great conversation about...
Welcome home, darling.
Thank you.
How
I
are
know.
You? I have
be
been
here.
So enjoying...
You love my posts?
Your posts. And you, ladies, today.
I told you.
Oh, look
I
at this.
I told you.
Well, I got to follow the posts. Well, Frankie, what am I missing?
You're missing so much, Patty.
You have to go on my Instagram.
Okay.
It's all new.
I'm so proud.
Just
proud.
A little private jet naked reading with the ladies.
What? Wait, what? Wait, what? Wait, what? How did I miss the gent naked? What was? What happened?
Follow Leslie Zemeckis on
well,
Instagram.
Know, yes,
I'm
follow
going to do that.
Leslie Zemeckis on
or
Instagram
wherever.
Because I, in honor of Michelle's naked girls reading, I thought naked writers writing.
I love it.
What? I'm not going to do that, but that's wonderful.
Her laptop covers all the right places.
Yes,
you know?
It does.
Yes.
That leopard print.
That makes sense.
It's good, right?
Yeah.
So no
good.
One's mentioned naked cartooning's cartooning.
Ooh.
You know,
no, you
I
don't.
Can only do so much.
You could do anything naked. Anything naked.
How big is your pencil? So.
Whoa. Yeah.
The sharpener hurts like a son of a
I'm just saying. It's all fantastic. So naked girls reading, technically tonight.
No, tomorrow.
Well, it's Friday already.
Well,
I know for some of our listeners,
technical.
They will call
Let's
us
Let's don't be
on
technical
this.
Because people Listen are so confused.
London.
They'll be like,
right.
what, I missed
Friday
you.
Night. Friday.
I know, I'm still in London time.
I don't
time.
Even know
I just
how you're awake. And
came back on London. I was in London 2 days ago. I was like, was I?
I'm sorry, but the woman doing your photographs is so quick. I'm going to show you how to do a claw, though, by the way, because you're like bang, 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 bang with the pictures. Fantastic.
Yeah, we need that. You showed us the claw, but I still don't get it.
Okay, so here, let me show you. And I've shown Leslie. I'll show you the claw. So your pointer finger and your pinky, top and bottom, and then your thumb is the trigger finger for taking us. This is for selfies.
She's really good at selfies.
Well, it's the only thing. If you have to have a skill set, this may as well be the one. So, and then you brace it with your two middle. The
oh,
two
wow,
middle
that
finger.
Really works.
I'm saying.
Oh, she's so, like, she's got, I'm like, I got the claw.
And it works for not even for selfies, but also as your tripod. So you can use it for, it's great for stability. Yeah. So there you go. How many times can we record? How many times I explain the claw online?
Yeah, on the show.
On the show, yes.
I don't know what point we're at now.
I don't know, but Scott just took a bunch of selfies. He feels empowered as well.
You need some diagrams,
maybe.
Yeah, you need infographics.
Something like
we're gonna
that.
We're going to do a tutorial video.
The whole point is we just need to infiltrate.
Yes.
Society with this concept of naked girls. I can't tell you how many people have like, oh my god, it's so risque. Your photos. I was like.
But oh, they're so cute.
I was like, but you don't see anything.
I want her
and they're
to
like
say,
going, oh, it's risque. And I was like.
I want her to say her message again, that we just need to infiltrate society with naked girls, because I want to applaud it.
And then, hold on,
that was so great.
We have to say it, but okay. We also have to make sure we.
But
keep...
also, why are we still, why is this still an issue? I mean, 200 years later?
After what? After...
200? Try 2 million. I mean,
yeah,
like, all the years. Wait, all the like, years.
Yeah.
Why is it remotely an issue? But why is it also like, oh my God, you're so wild. I was like, I'm wild. I'm not showing anything.
I'm loving this lipstick, by the way, Michelle, that you have. This
Thanks.
Is like a glitter.
It's my show lipstick.
It is spectacular.
Of course, glitter.
What color is that?
Sparkle.
Wait a minute. Is that the name of your cat?
My cat's name is also Sparkle. But
in Spanish. Is it Chispa?
Chispa.
Chispa. Chispa in Spanish.
Oh.
Your lip
Can
color
imagine
is
when we
chispa.
Die how much glitter is actually in us?
I don't even want to know about it.
But it's okay.
It doesn't matter.
Because you've swallowed it or because you've inhaled it.
Or it's in your eyes. Like yes. I put like glitter in the eyes. It's like,
all
doesn't
these
really
things.
Matter.
All these things.
I'll die in glitter.
It's okay.
I just like the fact that she stopped and said glitter because it's apparently two syllables, so
it
I
is,
understand.
It is two syllables.
When is it one?
Glitter.
When you're in Chicago, when it's you're glitter.
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 Glitter. Glitter. It's a little, yeah, it sounds glitter, a little bit like baby. That. How can we see naked girls reading?
Hi.
Oh, you can yes. see it. But Michelle, you tell.
Please tell.
Naked girls reading, goddess in love incarnate. I'm sorry. I've had some champagne and wine earlier
so
this evening. is tomorrow, well, technically today, Friday, April 1st. Yeah. No joke. It's at Studio L'Amour.
April 1st. I love that.
Yes. Studio L'Amour at 8 p.m. With Leslie Zemeckis and myself. And we'll be reading about goddesses and specifically Lily St. Cyr.
And how do people find out about tickets?
They can go to nakedgirlsreading.com/Chicago.
I think I'm going to, Craig, I think I have a, I might be late for the show tomorrow. Not for the show, but.
I mean, come on. Don't you think you should come?
Come on, Patty.
No, seriously.
I would love to have you.
I'm not reading, but I'll be
there. And yours and your 20 of your friends.
I don't know if we have room because we're almost sold out.
Oh, save a seat for me. Save a seat.
I'm buying one right now.
Can I sit on the floor?
Yeah, you can sit. We can do like school assembly style.
Please.
Yeah.
I will sit on the floor for you.
Okay, cool.
You know I'll sit on the floor for you.
I'll sit on the floor.
We have Jim on the line who wants to join the conversation. Hey, Jim, thank you so much for calling. What did you want to tell us?
Well, in 1970, I'm kind of an old person.
Oh, stop but, that you're an old person, Jim.
I'm sure you're cute.
There you go.
Or something like that. Anyway, in 1970, I was in the National Guard, and we stopped at Toledo, Ohio. We had some time, so we went to a bullet show in Toledo. And it was really, I mean, they had the old, the blackouts, you know, where they, you know, they come on, they throw, it's like a 1 or 2 minute skit, and then there's a blackout.
Okay.
And then they had the different, you were talking about body types. They had one lady that was, she was a good sized girl, and she came out and she did one of the best strips I've ever, you know, I had never seen anything like that before. And she was really outstanding. And then they had the more glamorous type ones later on. But it was a whole variety. I mean, it was really
Do you remember, and was it at Rose the Rose Places? What year?
It was around 1970. It was a place called the Town Hall.
Yeah, that was Rose the Rose's place, but I don't know if she was still. I can't remember what year she died. Do you remember any of the name, the headliners?
No, I can't remember the names of the headliners.
But this is a perfect example of a girl who, you know, started out stripping, and then she got her own club and made it something, and she really mentored a lot of girls.
When I was in high school, our band director also moonlighted at the, he would drive, yeah. He had to drive like 70 miles to, and he moonlighted there as a piano player in the strip club. And they had a live band.
Of course.
By the way, Jim, I have to tell you, I just pulled a picture, I believe, of, I want this dress.
That's me.
I want a skirt where there are two beautiful men.
Okay, but I got
to
tell you this.
Thank you so much, Jim.
I used to do this one woman show.
We'll talk to you later. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I always said, like, I want, it's so politically incorrect. I want dwarfs under there.
Mm-hmm. I do a Snow White routine, and I've always wanted seven dwarfs to come
on
my
skirt.
You know,
they're hard to find. I was like, I just want dwarfs. People are like, no, you can't.
You know what?
Wait a minute.
I got a connection.
I was like, no, but I want dwarfs.
Patty, are we having the off-the-air conversation on the air?
Yes, we're having the off-the-air conversation.
It seems like the off-the-air conversation.
Yeah, this seems like a
because I'm so not politically correct.
No, that is lovely.
Little person. You want little people under.
No, I don't. I want dwarfs.
Okay.
Just saying.
It's okay. She's just saying that makes, and I agree with it. That's what I say when I say things.
Does
to
it
people.
Matter? Like we put no seriously. We put titles on people partly because I live in this, mm-hmm. and these like I was called the stripper, and I get that. But it's like, does it really matter?
Right? It does it?
No, because this person is going to call you a stripper forever.
For you know, yeah,
and you're going to say like, no, I'm a dancer.
Right, it's your responsibility to go. Okay,
so
they
like
said
we
that.
All like to think about. Oh well, we'll call instead of a what person, we'll call them a that person. It doesn't take it anything away.
Well, you can't control the things people say. You can only control how you react. Mm-hmm. And I get to do this. I'm like, you know what? Well, this is how I react. I come back later. Oh, by the way, do we have a wake up call for somebody? Leslie,
I hope so,
Michelle,
I gotta go to bed soon.
Do you have anyone you'd like us to call at almost 2 a.m?
Oh my god.
More. We'll find out more after this on
Sunday.
Oh, that means it's almost time for our show to be over. Before we go, we have a phone call to make.
Yes.
Oh, are you sad that we're done?
A little bit.
It was a fun show tonight. I know. A little something, a little everything.
Yeah.
Some car talk, politics, burlesque.
New talking?
Burlesque.
Yeah. No.
As an art form.
Goddess of burlesque, love incarnate.
Burlesque.
We're going to change the world. How do you think about
little by little. Oh, we have a phone ringing right now. Hold on a second. Is it ringing? Oh, did we already hang up? Was that me? Did I do that? Oh, Craig's a... Hold on a second. Oh, 1 second. We are calling Michelle Lamore. Who are we calling, Michelle?
We're calling Tom Kleiner. He is my neighbor, but also the owner of Club Lucky.
Oh.
Or one of the owners of Club Lucky.
I like that.
All right. And it's his birthday today.
Well, there's his phone
Happy
ringing.
Happy birthday to you.
Well, let's see if we get
him
online.
He's going to be so pissed.
Well, maybe he has his ringer off and he won't answer the phone at all.
I don't know.
He'll wonder, is he one of those people that keeps his phone on in case of an emergency? Like maybe, really? Oh, because of the club. Because maybe there's something going on at the club. He's got to make sure he answers the phone.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I mean.
While we're waiting, I want to make sure that everyone knows about Naked Girls Reading. Tell us again.
Tomorrow night.
That's hi, you reached Thomas.
Oh, 30.
We can leave a message.
And message after right. the beep, and I will
so
call you back.
7:30 tomorrow night, Friday.
Thank you, and have a
Naked
nice day.
Naked Girls Reading. It's due to Lamar. Mm-hmm. Goddess of love incarnate. If you ever
hey, Tom,
to know.
It's Patty Vasquez. That's Leslie Zemeckis telling you about naked girls.
Naked people.
It's Scott Stannis.
Just saying naked people. 7:30 tomorrow night, Friday.
That's
happy
right.
There
birthday,
are no naked
Tom.
People.
Happy birthday to you.
Hey. Oh, look at that.
Happy birthday to you.
You crazy Tom, you.
Happy birthday, dear Tom. Happy birthday to you.
Craig, how you doing, Craig?
Hey, Patty, good. How are you
That's
doing?
That's the first time I've
ever. We first for us.
Yeah, it's a first for us. We never let anyone finish that song.
Did you hang up yet?
That song? No.
You never let
Oh, no, we're
it.
Still going.
Michelle, why
do you have to pay for that?
We save the entire. No, we don't anymore. It's public domain now.
Yeah, we're fine.
We leave messages. So anything we want to talk about. So again, you were talking about promoting the show. I didn't mean to cut you off. Yeah, we're leaving a message the whole thing.
Until it beeps again.
You know, for your birthday, you want to go see Naked Girls Reading.
I would think so. Naked, naked, naked.
We're celebrating his birthday in our birthday suits.
Reading Goddess of Love Incarnate. The
life naked's fun.
It is. The life of Striptease Lily Sinclair. Sincere. Oh, Sincere. I did it again. How did I keep getting it wrong?
Can't show that on the radio, Leslie.
I know. On the radio,
you can show me. It's on the radio. You can't show that.
You know what? I don't understand this double stick tape because it doesn't work.
You got to get the good stuff.
What's going on in the studio?
Garland.
Upholstery. I've used upholstery tape, by the way. Double-sided upholstery tape.
Are you serious? Doesn't that hurt?
Glue.
It's a little more thick. Well, I don't do it as often as you do, so I know it's a little more, it's a little more aggressive.
I just need to know.
So for my once in a while.
This is my preferred brand of tape is Garland.
Garland.
Garland brand. And you can get it at Heads and Threads, a Milwaukee, Ashland, and Division. That little.
Yeah, but if you don't live here, can you get it online?
Yes, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I'm sure you can.
To Amazon for Garland double-sided tape.
I live for Amazon.
I want to hear about the upholstery tape. That's got to hurt.
No, that's no good. No.
It does. It works.
I'm sure it does.
But it leaves a mark or something, right?
So you lose a little skin here and there. It's worth wearing the bustier.
My nipples are so exfoliated, you have no idea.
Okay, TMI.
I'm not sure if that is TMI.
I don't know.
Wait, Garland?
That's totally fine.
Garland. Garland.
Yes. No, how? It's only fun because I like my kids are like, TMI. And they didn't even know what they're
Well, if you
about.
Tell your kids your nipples are so exfoliated,
no,
that's going to be
nipples,
TMI.
They're like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, like your bottom.
Mom!
When Griffin was younger, Griffin would always, he would call them nibbles. Are those nibbles?
Nibbles.
Nibbles. Yeah, they're
nibbling at you.
Maybe mommy needs to put a
I
top
call
on.
Them, I called them memes when I was a kid.
Memes
in China.
I like that. And China.
China.
And when I heard pandas Instead were from of, China, I was very concerned.
Yes. Like, how do they fit? I'm so small.
I didn't get it. I really freaked out.
The maximum length.
Yeah, we did it.
Say goodbye to Tom because we're not there yet.
I have to do research in 7 hours after.
All right, you go ahead and go. Thank you, Leslie Zemeckis. Find her book, The Goddess of Love Incarnate, The Life of Striptease. Leslie, oh God, I can't. Lily. No.
Sincere. Sincere. It's like sincere.
I can't do it.
Sincere. I can't read. Can't wait to read it.
It's been a pleasure, ladies. Thank you. Have a good night. I like. Craig, who's the only other guest we ever have that leaves in the middle of an interview?
John Tatey.
I think it's John Tatey. Yeah. I kind of love it. Leslie's like, I'm done. I have to go now.
Yeah, and everyone's like, hey, good to see you. Hey, it was great. We're going out now.
Good night, everybody.
She literally just dropped the mic and walked out.
She did. She dropped the mic. She goes, you can't get the name of my book right.
My other favorite part is that we're still on air.
We are still on the air. That's okay. It was just the...
Goodbye, everybody.
Good night, everybody. I'll see you
me.
At Naked Girls Reading. Thank you, Leslie. I will see you tomorrow, I promise.
See you guys.
Good night, everybody.
This is happening on the air.
I know. That's the only time we've had a whole group of people be like, we have to go.
Done.
We don't have the next 4 minutes.
Right.
Must go research. Next book.
Okay. That is literally the only time on this radio show that we have said goodbye to people like that as if they were leaving a party on the air. That happened
this
on the
like
air.
This is like a party. This is like
I know.
A party.
That's and that's, I love that people felt comfortable enough.
Yeah, all right. See you guys.
Patty, thank you for being patient. Appreciate it.
It's not my fault that Scott Santa's brought spiced whiskey. That would
right.
be
I
part
mean,
of
what
the...
is that? It's like cotton candy in
I know.
A bottle.
It's good for you, too. It's got fiber. It has to be good for you. It has to be.
What is that?
It's
called Spice Box.
Oh, Spice Box.
So yeah. Am I.
And that should be the name of your next show.
Is this a patty melt? Are we officially having another patty melt?
Yeah. No, only because Scott's actually melting. I'm perfectly capable of carrying out a conversation. Thank
okay.
you very
really?
Much.
Okay, go on.
That's all right. I'm fine.
Spice Box.
Spice Box.
Spice Box.
Hold on, it's slower.
Show them more. The Spice Box of Burlesque.
That's my stage name is going to be Spice Box.
Does that mean you're going to perform? Are you going to perform at one of Michelle's shows then,
like
Spice
it.
Box?
I don't like it.
I think that WGN would have, not only WGN, but I believe that our listeners would have concern for the legacy of WGN Radio.
Whatever,
you,
man.
You could be tasteful.
Yeah. You're pushing it.
You could be totally tasteful. It's the 21st century.
Of course. Push it. It's not whether or not I'm tasteful. It's whether or not the interpretation and the ability of people to understand it as tasteful as possible.
That is true, too.
Yes.
You could remain covered, though, is what I'm saying. Like, you wouldn't have to. Yeah. Spice box. It's a thing. Let's
Spice
talk about
box.
It.
All right. I've got a couple more deadlifts to do before I can pull
They better
that
send
off.
Me a case of this stuff. That's We're giving this much free advertising.
Yeah, really.
That's my other stage name, by the way, deadlift.
That is an intense
Madam
show.
Deadlift.
Yeah, Madam Deadlift.
Well, it's better than Power Snatch.
I actually don't think it is. Power Snatch is the winner. Power Snatch wins all the time.
That's.
You would have thousands of people showing up just to know what the heck that was.
Here's my favorite thing right you now. Would. Vic Vaughn has just now sat down at the news desk, and he's not quite sure what has been happening for the entire show. Esmeralda has patiently waited in the wings and gone, I don't want to even have.
What did I walk into?
Exactly.
I'm a
Power
observing.
Snatch.
Yes. Power.
Live at Zanies.
Look, if you walk into a Power Snatch, something has gone horribly wrong, is all I'm saying.
Or right.
Or
horribly right.
For those of you wondering, by the way, in CrossFit, in powerlifting, in Olympic
yeah,
lifting,
yes.
snatch is a move.
She's walking it back, folks.
I'm not walking it back. No, it's absolutely a term.
Yeah, we don't need to walk it anywhere.
Yeah.
It is what it
there's
is.
There's a clean snatch. There's a power snatch. There's a clean and jerk.
Snatch.
Yes.
It's clean snatched.
Do you see, like, you,
what she's saying?
You watch my CrossFit videos and you're a little disappointed that I've gone in that direction and not done it. And I've tried going back. I need to do some dancing to elongate the muscles.
Right.
But now you hear the terminology and go, oh, I see why she keeps showing up. Have you seen the firefighters I work out with?
Okay, I'm with you on that.
All right. That's your fine. Makeup looks wonderful tonight, by the
Thank
way. You look
you.
Great.
We only have like 30
Thank
seconds
you.
Left. I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to promote or mention.
Follow there. Scott Santis at sstantis on Twitter and Prickly City at chicagotribune.com/Stantis.
It's just that easy.
Also, don't forget to go to europeananusauto.com. And Michelle L'Amour, your show tonight,
My
Friday night.
Friday night, nakedgirlsreading.com/Chicago.